Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, you gotta fight for your right.
And now, from the IMLD Home Studios, in its 11th season, you are listening to, in much less detail, the podcast, where we cut through the noise and give you your NFL breakdown in much less detail. Now your hosts, Jay and Bray.
Yeah.
Time to get you pumped up and ready for some NFL action tomorrow, week 5 in the NFL. Kicked off Thursday night, will continue tomorrow. We'll have all the picks for you a little later on, an hour from now or so. Before that, we will be reviewing week 4, giving out our awards, our best and our worst, and you know how it goes by now. You are listening to In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you live on a Saturday night, October the 7th, 2023. I'm Dre. He's Jay. Jay, I'm getting ready to see you and the fam next weekend. We're not going to be
two weekends.
Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Two weeks.
Weekends from now. So we'll figure all that out, the logistics of that. But for now, we're still in our respective home studios and getting ready to review last week and getting ready for week 5 coming up.
Yeah, this will be a good show. We got you were telling me right before we went to air that you're thinking that we're going to both have the same picks, and it made me think and realize, like, right there on the spot, that this is when you have that advantage in going first.
There you go.
In giving out the awards, I think, you know, without even, and the best of the week last week, and I don't know if either one of us are even going to say it, was that we agreed on all of those picks last week, and we did not embarrass ourselves.
I wasn't going to say it, but yes, that played a big part in my enjoyment of the football last weekend, is realizing that we didn't suck in all those picks that we had together.
Yeah, when we go through an entire week, and there were no buys last week, so it was a 16-game slate, and we agreed on 14 picks. We were
right.
Pretty much figuring that we were lined up for disaster, and it wasn't that bad.
So the two that we disagreed on, you swept me. You took them both. So congratulations. You swept a whole week,
yes.
Putting you at – so you'll be going first in the awards. So you
and
go
I think,
10 and
does
6
that, does
on
that
the
mean
week.
I leapfrogged you now? So we've been doing this
right
back and forth. Yeah. Neither one of
them. Yeah, you went 10 and 6. I went 8 and 8, which puts you, yes, one game ahead of me for the season now.
Yeah.
We're both still underwater, though. We're both still struggling to get up to 500.
Man. Yeah.
So I'm 28-34. You're 29-33. But we're trending in the right direction, because a couple of weeks ago we were both way under, and so we've been fighting get ourselves back up. I was at 400 after week 2. So
no.
I'm definitely glad to be at 452. That doesn't sound like much, but it's a hell of a lot better than 400. And you're at 468. So we're fighting it, but. Obviously, it's been one of those type of seasons. We don't want to make excuses, but come on. It's been a crazy-ass season.
It has been, and we get to talk about a whole bunch of that tonight. And we can't talk, you know, without any of the Week 5 stuff yet, we get to talk about that next week. We got to talk about Week 4 and, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, and there was a lot of all of it. We'll be curious to see, and, you know, a lot of times we agree on things, but we maybe slot them differently, so that's also a fun part of it. So we'll see how that goes. So I guess I'll get started. Football party, oh, yeah.
Right. Your best of week 4.
My best of week 4, and last week I did not go chalk with the Miami 70-point endeavor. I took the other side of that game, which was all sorts of that game was just, we could have just given awards to that game, because that game I think had every single award that we give out probably all inside of it. And even though you were on record, and I did not necessarily disagree with you, that the best thing for the Buffalo Bills was a loss to the Dolphins and then the struggle session and then the fight, it turned into a stunning. And for all the people out there who were so quick in the offseason to anoint the Jets, right? The Jets were going to be the winners of the East, and the Bills, the Bills were the cheek pick to miss the playoffs this last season. You and I were not there. I think we both have them in the Super Bowl, one winning and one losing. And, man, they put a whooping on a team in Miami that had just come off of a 70-point effort in Denver, against Denver, and was riding high, and they were going to come in there, and we ended up going 1-1 in our trap games last week.
Right.
And this one hung the L on us because, man, yeah, how could you go against Miami after they scored 70 points? And Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and that Buffalo team said, son, you ain't ready.
White Mouse will not explode.
Don't you believe in
it? Whew.
Yeah, that was a whooping.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Josh Allen goes for 320 and four tutties. Stephon Diggs catches three of them, does a stone-cold celebration in the end zone.
He got fined
for
that
today,
shit.
By the way. But whatever, it was great. You know, gets down there. You have the Lambeau leap, and you get Stephon Diggs go down there, smash the beer cans together, and douse the fans with the beer. I mean, they were feeling themselves. The Bills were, and after that first tough loss against the Jets, and you know, we've seen the Chiefs struggle against the Jets too. So in hindsight, maybe that Jets defense just really is that good, and they could really frustrate you when they want to. The Bills since then have just kept looking better and better and better. And that all culminated in that 48-20 beatdown. Are we kumbaya here or?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'll let you talk about it now since we're both agreeing on this one.
When the Buffalo Bills want to be the best, they can be the best. This is what we've been talking about.
Man.
When they're motivated, they can beat any team in the league. My criticism has always been, both of our criticism has been, their focus and their lack of motivation. And I've specifically really come down on the star QB for not playing like a star QB, his penchant for playing careless and throwing arm punts and everything else. But when they put their minds to it, ooh, man, and when Stephon Diggs puts his mind to ripping away from two DBs and scoring touchdowns and being hemmed in at the sideline and looking like, oh, they're going to pull him down. They got a penalty. They interfered with him and everything else. And he's like, no, I don't think so. I don't feel like going down here. I'm going to tear away from you, and I'm going to score on his way to basically a career day for him. Project had a perfect passer rating. That's the Bills being the Bills. That's the best of the week to me, absolutely. I mean, the game itself was the highest level of play calling and executing by both teams. The Dolphins started out with the Bills going touchdown for touchdown. They were basically bashing each other in the nose and going heads up. And the Bills, basically, their defense started deflecting some passes and closing some of those zones and some of those passing lanes and really rising to the occasion. The offense did, of course, but I think the defense sort of set it off first. Like, you can do whatever you want on offense against the Dolphins, the way they're playing, but if you can't stop them, at least get a couple of stops here and there, they're going to just answer everything you do and eventually run you over. But the Bills defense rose to the occasion. They realized what was happening, that game, that environment, that statement of this is not your time right now. This is not your division. Like you said, son, you're not ready to take over that top spot just yet. We're still the top dogs here. Project and Stephon Diggs taking over. What an amazing performance by both of those guys. Tua started pressing, overthrows for an interception. That's what the Bills can be when they focus. And Miami certainly didn't get destroyed as the score may indicate. For those who watched the whole game, that's just how complete Buffalo played, is they made it look like a complete as-whooping at the end when you look at the score. But it really wasn't as bad as the score indicates. It really was two teams playing at their best back and forth. And the Bills come out of that, you know, four touchdown victors, 48-20. It wasn't really that bad, but it was that bad, because when the Bills turned it on and decided to put their mind to it, they put the hammer down on the Miami Dolphins. And shout out to the Bills and congratulations to them. Watching them dominate the way they can and should, that was indeed the best of the week for them.
Yeah, if losing the game and having to deal with the adversity, you know, at one end of the spectrum is good for them, how can this not be good for them? They just went out there and absolutely whooped the crap out of the team that everybody was talking about the week before, as the records, and they could have set the record for all-time points, and they were favored going to Buffalo, and we knew it was a trap, and we just dove headfirst right into the bear trap.
It stepped right in. It got our foot snapped off. The only way it could be bad is, again, the mental, the motivation. Like, if the Bills now go from here, you know, doing the Richard Pryor thing, we bad, and they think that nobody can touch them, and they go the rest of the way thinking that they can sort of rest on their laurels and rest on this victory. That's the only way it could be bad, but it's unfair for me to say they're going to do that because they haven't done it yet. So I'll back off from that, and I'll say, hey, you know, congratulations, you're the best, and hopefully you can go forward, you know, keeping up this type of play and this quality of play. I'm a little afraid of it. I'm a little afraid of them, you know, getting a big head. But until they show that they get the big head and they don't put forth effort, you know, in games going forward, then I won't demean them and put them down for it, just yet.
And it's, and a lot of it with the Bills is a lot of it like it is when we talk about teams like the Chiefs. The Chiefs and the Bills kind of similar in that way, where they get bored with the bad teams, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's where Buffalo, like, especially coming off of this, if they were going this week and playing an also-ran, I think I'd be a little bit more worried. But they're going, they're playing a good team. You know, they're playing another one of those, you know, preseason, you know, hot shit pick teams. So we'll see how that goes. Although they're playing, you know, the Jags this week and they're home away from home.
Yeah, that's interesting. You got to get on a plane and go to another continent right after that. So you don't have a
where
whole
they've been waiting
hell of a
for
lot
you, right? I doubt the Jags even left.
They didn't. I know for a fact they did not leave England. So, yeah.
So they are just like waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the Bills are the quote-unquote home team in this game. Go figure one out.
I guess they couldn't rip two home dates away from Jacksonville. They ripped one away from Buffalo this time.
I guess,
to make it fair. I don't know. All right. The worst of week four.
Boy, I had so many places where I could have slotted this one, but because I've got something different for my stupidest, I'm going to go giving this to the Chicago Bears and that second half, quote-unquote, effort that they had against the Denver Broncos in a game, you know, we still have the Thursday night, you know, routing on our minds of what they did to Washington, but I could not be clouded by that in what we saw last week, which was just horrific in blowing the huge, you know, three touchdown lead. Matt Eberflus does his Brandon Staley worst impersonation, passes up a late field goal, tries to go for it on fourth down, ends up not getting it, gifts the Broncos the ball back, and the Broncos go and kick a field goal and end up winning the game and cementing that comeback. Instead of stopping the bleeding, it would have been a 40-some yard field goal. For some reason, they opted out of it, got the head cold or something going on in that team, just brain farts, and opts out of that for no reason, completes the collapse, allows the Broncos, who were just completely down and out in that game, to claw all the way back, and then you get some of the loose ball handling, you get a defensive touchdown for the Broncos, just an absolutely utter collapse at home. We still covered the number, which was really nice to you know, sort of come in on the hook on that one, even though we were,
the other
felt
trap.
Like we were falling. That was the trap game too, but we loved that hook. And we end up coming out on the right side of that one, but man, how bad was that collapse by the Chicago Bears? And then I did not understand the not kicking the field goal to go up 31-28 at that point in the game, about 4 minutes left to go, and at least force the Broncos to go the other way and score. You know what? They did anyways.
Right.
And
so
it ended
it
up being
matter.
A deciding factor. Right. So that to me was the worst of the week.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Kumbaya again. Did I not tell you before the show we were going to be kumbaya on these awards, man? Told you. Let's see. You're in a struggle against a team. They got housed by 50 the game before. And you're still the underdog. Everyone knows your coaches aren't any good. The players feel like garbage. The organization feels like garbage. The city is hating on you. And suddenly the team looks awesome. Three touchdowns in the first half and destroying the Broncos and everything. Is,
yeah.
The quarterback literally can't miss a pass. Literally, his first 16 passes were complete. And up 28-7. How the hell do you lose that game? How do you – oh, my God. How do you blow a three-score lead to that outfit? Any game at all,
right.
But especially to that team that
the
has
clown
been
show.
Those two teams were the biggest laughingstocks in the league going into that game, and they both managed to live up to it. I don't know how they did it, but they both managed to be to live up to being complete jokes.
Broncos country, that's right.
And you
on
came back. You let that unit come back on you. Come on.
On the plus side, that game did go over, like I said it would.
Oh yeah, we both liked that over because both those defenses are trash.
Not Bears.
We were both all over that as well, that aspect of it. And they, boy, howdy, did they come through and both perform like trash. How do you lose that game? Fields was an absolute superstar for three quarters.
Yeah.
And then Luke Getsy has brain farts. And Denver storms back. You got to go for that field goal.
Yeah.
It was tied.
You
got to. You got to go for that field. The Bears are going to bear. That's,
he had
that's
the ball to Staley.
I don't understand. I don't know how you.
And you of all people who sometimes are like, it's okay to go for it. You don't pass up those points.
You got to take.
You have a reliable
for,
field goal kicker. You got to stop the bleeding. Get some points on the board. Put some pressure on the other team.
For decent teams, it's great to have balls of Staley and go for it and put pressure on the other team that way and say, hey, we're here and we're going to take what we want. We're not just going to, you know, be happy to take three, or we're not going to be happy we're not going to punt the ball and give up, but we're going to be men and take what we need. If we need a yard, we're going to take a yard because it's a yard. Yeah, decent teams, not even great teams, just decent teams. Yes, I'm definitely in favor of doing
right.
that. When you're shit like the Chicago Bears are, when you're absolute complete shit and a laughing stock. No, you got to take the points. You got to play smarter, not harder, I guess. You got to do the right thing at that point. You can't afford to do the wrong thing, because this is what happens when you do the wrong thing and try to man up and be the big balls of steel. And that's exactly what happens. That's how you blow a game. Like, I cannot believe they lost that game. So yeah, absolutely worst of the week. So we're two for two.
Okay. So I have a feeling we'll diverge on this one, because if we both have this same next one, I'm just done. We'll just go right to the picks.
Hey, what happened? Your biggest surprise of week four. Now I'm
well,
really
smart,
interested
smart,
to see
smartest of the week, right?
Oh, I'm skipping. Oh, yeah,
we skipped.
I skipped the smartest and dumbest. You're absolutely right.
It's okay.
Your smartest of week four.
My smartest of the week goes off the field, not into the game itself, although it's a result of something that happened in the game itself. I'm giving this to GOAT coach and the Patriots for very quickly trading for J.C. Jackson after their superstar rookie Christian Gonzalez ends up going out for the season. So brings back a former player home from the Clipper Chargers, and boy, we had more trade action. A lot of that spilled over into what would be our week five time frame for me, which is in that Thursday Friday mode. But hey, you know what? Patriots are reeling right now. It's not looking too good for them. They lose their what was looking like to be their best player on defense for the season now. And then they go out there, hit the trade market, start some action going on the trades, and scoop up a player to bring them in right away to replace it. Gotta love that. I'm giving the GOAT coach and the Patriots the smartest of the week for just going out there and making a shrewd move in response to an injury. More teams need to do stuff like this.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have the same. I understand the move. I can like the move because he is a very good player and he obviously knows the system. I'm just wary of it, and it's a Belichick type of move for sure. But I'm just wary of it because of the behavior of J.C. Jackson in the last couple of years. And he seems to be a little more mentally unstable than he was, and I don't know exactly what's going on there. So that makes me a little wary of it, but every other part of it, as far as the on the field, yes, that is an absolutely shrewd move by Bill Belichick. My smartest of the week, you talked about the choices in weaponry for the 49ers, and they gave up a lot for that one weapon at running back.
Oh, yeah.
But how does 106 rushing yards and three touchdowns and 71 receiving yards and another touchdown. How's that sound?
Sounds like Marshall Faulk.
White Marshall Faulk. I think that's a smart move by the 49ers. I think the verdict is in, and acquiring Christian McCaffrey is officially a smart move by the Niners. Let the good times roll in San Fran. That's what you're supposed to do to the Arizona Cardinals, by the way. I don't know if the Cowboys are paying attention. That's how you're supposed to treat the Cardinals. Despite the Cards getting within a score, again, they have fight, they have heart.
You know, that was not – that cover was in doubt till the very end.
Yeah, yeah, they fought. The Cards fought back as they have been doing. And Debo very much beat up, and I told you about that before the game, and I said, I don't know how much he's going to contribute, and as it turned out, he didn't really contribute anything. Kyle Shanahan uses McCaffrey to the max. To make up for Debo. You said they got so many weapons, and there you go. You use McCaffrey as a running back, as a receiver, just doing everything out there. If he could have put him in the secondary and had him play some cover three, he would have had him do that too. Four TDs, tremendous effort by McCaffrey, basically carrying the Niners on his back. And there's going to be days where Brandon Ayuk is carrying the Niners, and there's going to be days where George Kittle is carrying the Niners, and there's going to be days where Debo is healthy and carrying the Niners. Man, again, so many weapons, and what a smart acquisition to get Christian McCaffrey on a day that they really, really needed him.
Yeah, you know, you hate to say that they needed him, quote-unquote needed him, against the Cardinals. I mean, they obviously needed him to cover the number. I think that's a game they probably win anyways, you know, because I've got a feeling evil genius would have schemed them up even if they didn't have Christian McCaffrey, and they would have come out with the W, but they wouldn't have come out with a 14-point cover by winning by 15.
I don't know. The way the Cards fight, if they didn't have McCaffrey, you know, who they would have gone with? You know, Elijah Mitchell.
Elijah Mitchell.
Got hurt.
Oh, don't worry. Your boy Evil Genius would have come. Shanahan would have come up with something. It would have been the George Kittle show. Or I don't have no doubt that they would have come up with OW, but I don't think they would have been as impressive. And Christian McCaffrey, there's early MVP. Don't you love MVP talk after 4 weeks? There's early MVP talk about Christian McCaffrey.
Okay. I don't know who the leaders are in MVP because I don't listen to any of that.
Oh, anymore. There's all sorts of first quarter MVP. Oh, come on.
It's talk. It's sports talk. That's what
I
you
know.
Do. That's if we
what
had
we're
a,
doing right now.
Well, yeah, if we had a job where someone was paying us for it, then they would put that
yes.
in front of us and we'd have to talk about it. We don't talk about it because we don't want to because it's our show. But if we were being paid, they would be like, okay, guys, you got to do the first
yeah.
quarter MVP segment coming up after these commercials.
Right. So each one of us would have our chalky guy and then somebody would be with the, well, what
hey,
about?
What
yeah.
About
don't.
Guy?
Well, yeah. What about okay. Christian McCaffrey? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What about Puka Nacua?
Oh, gosh.
Come
yep.
on.
We could format it already. We already
yep.
know.
Well, we've already got the black guy and the white guy. We just need the female moderator.
Yeah, random blonde chick
yeah.
from Stanford or something. That was,
telling
yeah,
you, if we ever had a show where they paid us to do the show, we would call the show Black Guy, White Guy, Female Moderator.
Or First a Negro. That's not taken.
It writes, first, it writes itself.
That's right.
No!
You're dumbest of week four.
So last week, we talked about the tush push, right?
Yep.
I'm going to talk about it again. Because what's the response? Not the Richard Sherman response like I talked about last week. I'm talking about the on-field response to the tush push is, hey, everyone can do it, right?
Well,
well,
you would
turns
think.
Out everyone can't do it. Let's go to the sad case of the New York Giants.
Oh no!
First of all, getting thoroughly dismantled by the Seattle Seahawks in prime time, decided early in the game on their first drive of the game that they were going to try on a 4th-and-1 a tush push. Well, guess what? It didn't work. And they injured two of their own players on the play. And then
oh.
it comes out after the game, Brian Daboll admits that they had never even practiced the play. So it was part of their walkthroughs, but they never actually lined up in the formation and practiced the tush push. And he ends up getting one of his linemen and one of his tight ends, Daniel Bellinger, injured on the tush push play that they had never practiced. They don't make it, and then they get blown out by the Seattle Seahawks. Good job. Good job, Brian Daboll and the New York Giants for being the stupidest of the week, for trying to copy greatness in what the Eagles do, and they do it better than anybody else, and then you fail miserably, get your own players hurt, and don't even convert.
Jeez.
Don't.
So he literally said, anyone can do this play. Let's just run it in the game, and we don't even have to practice it before. Practice? You're talking about practice, man. We don't even have to practice it. We'll just do it in our walkthrough. Hey, yeah, we got it. Good. Okay, we good. All right, let's go. Let's go get them. Let's go, team. Ooh. That's the Giants for you.
I've got a feeling that the Eagles have practiced that play.
Well, they've done it 100 times in game now, so they don't have to practice it anymore because now they've done it so much they can do it in their sleep, I'm sure.
Hang
honey?
On. I Uh-oh. See something. See, usually I get snuck up on, but that's not going to happen tonight.
Oh, you see a dinosaur?
See, so we have a gate that I can hear open and close, but I just saw somebody step over the gate. Wait. What are you dressed up like? A turtle. So instead of a dinosaur, you're a turtle?
Wow, he's covering all of the prehistoric
last
animals.
A dinosaur, rar? What are you? What are you tonight?
Turtle.
You are a turtle. He has got a full pajama bodysuit turtle outfit on with a shell on the back and everything. Okay.
Hey, live your best life, man.
You like turtles? Wow. Are you coming to say goodnight, buddy?
Yes.
Okay, come here. Say goodnight.
Oh.
I don't know what that noise is you're making. All right, goodnight, buddy.
Good night.
I was sitting here in my chair, and I was leaning back, and I can see kind of up to the top of the stairs. Turn off the light, buddy. Thank you. And then all of a sudden, I saw a foot. Oh boy, I know what's happening here. So instead of him opening up the gate at the, because we have a dog gate at the top of the stairs, so our dog doesn't get down here.
Yeah.
And that little sneaky boy.
He's very young. Does he know the meme of I like turtles, where that comes
yes,
from?
Yes, he does.
Okay. I didn't know if he had just heard it somewhere. And because he's not, I don't think he was around when that first happened. But
he knows it.
Okay.
He knows it. And they're his favorite animals. So
that's
why he probably knows it. Yeah. I like turtles. Yeah. Oh boy. Okay. What's your stupidest of the
week? The cute factors never fail to impress. I was I've moved up your guys coming down here by a week, because that's how excited I am to see them.
You would have been waiting for us for some ribs, and we wouldn't be there.
Man, I thought they were supposed to come through. What happened? Where are my dumbest of the week? So more Taylor Swift. No, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going back there. I know. I had to say it once just to get your reaction. I won't be piling on that. No.
Just the blatant greed that the NFL displayed, too, that you're finding out about.
Yeah,
out there just trying.
Yeah.
I couldn't give any of it an award, because we don't have an award like that. Just like, what made you
greediest
sick
of
this
the week?
Last week? Yeah.
Yeah, all about the concert promoting and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we got something for that, of course. There's no such thing as bad promotion. No such thing as bad money.
We could almost give out the Ted DiBiase Award every week.
That would depress the hell out of me, finding the greediest thing every week, because that would very much be depressing and dark, and I don't want to go down that road. But yeah, that was pretty obvious how greedy that was. But money's money, right? Now, back to the dumbest of the week. I won't pile on all the Taylor Swift covers. Nope, I'll pile on the Cincinnati Bengals instead. They keep trying to pretend like Joe Burrow can play all year like this. He can't. He can't play like this. He's awful. He's so bad. You can't keep doing that. Just the way that he's playing, the numbers that he's putting up, the offenses pissed at him, the teammates and the teams getting pissed at him. Since he's in real trouble, Ja'Marr Chase is pissed. You saw his comments after the game about they basically asked him, do you think Burrow's play is hindering you getting open? He's like, I'm always fucking open. So basically he's saying, this shit ain't on me, man.
First of all,
this is not my fault.
The question is dumb on its face. Because how does the quarterback playing affect the wide receiver getting open?
I'm not sure.
So that's a bait. They baited him into that one.
And he took the bait. He bit right on it. But
they're not going to cut him and trade him like the Bears did with Chase Claypool after his comments.
I mean, if Chase Claypool was that good, the Bears wouldn't have done it either. So
no.
But yeah, Chase is pissed. T. Higgins broke a rib, so who knows when he's going to get back to 100%. Burrow's at 4.8 yards per attempt.
He's not right.
4.8. That
maybe
guy, so cool.
Maybe all that cash is weighing him down.
I mean, we see what's the problem. He's hurt.
He's hurt.
Trying to act like
exactly.
He's not.
And
that's why.
He's not just hurt. He has a crap offensive line.
He's always had that.
But he's hurt.
You're absolutely
now he
right.
Can't run away from danger.
Right. He can't run away from the constant pressure that he was always getting his entire career.
Correct.
And that's why they're my dumbest, because they're basically trying to act like nothing to see here, folks. He's going to get better. He's getting better and better.
It's a Naked Gun meme right now for them.
Yep. The Bengals stadium is on fire, and they're the dog drinking the coffee. This is fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Yeah. Nothing to see here. Please move along. No. Please. You know, the exploding fireworks factory in the background. So.
Right.
Yeah, I get it. That's
not okay.
Pretty dumb.
It's not okay, guys. I mean, they don't want to go to some other quarterback, because they basically would be admitting we're fucked. But look,
you know,
gotta do something.
Perfect segue into, because my surprise of the week I referenced this game in my surprise of the week. Well, it was a surprise and it wasn't a surprise because we picked against the Titans, fully admitting that this was going to happen.
Hey, what happened?
Yeah, this was exactly the kind of spot where the Titans, boy, is there a more heckle and jive team right now than the Tennessee Titans?
I can't figure them out. Believe me.
Because they had two wins. It's like coming off, they had two ugly L's and then two wins where you're just like, man, they look really good. And then in their two L's, they're like, these guys suck. And there they are.
Yeah.
2-2. It's funny because that whole AFC South is 2-2. And that leads to part of my surprise of the week, which is those performances by the Titans and the Texans. Absolutely whooping those AFC North powerhouses, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals, to a combined score of 57-9. Houston just, I can't say enough about what they're getting out of C.J. Stroud and that offense, and they're taking care of business right now. That passing game is 1,200 yards now without an interception. You just keep seeing these numbers rolling up. Making stars out of nobodies on that offense, looking really good. Pittsburgh, man, and Cincinnati. You want to talk about Cincinnati being dumb. What are the Pittsburgh Steelers doing? Their offense can't move. They can't score points. Kenny Smallhands ain't getting it done. The running game stinks. Those two teams absolutely look like dumpster fires right now in the Bengals and the Steelers. Very little good coming out of either one of those organizations or team efforts right now. And for when we always talk about the worst division in the league, that AFC South, everybody in that division has actually had shining moments. You'd be very hard pressed to find any shining moments out of Pittsburgh and Cincinnati right now. And I'll tell you what, 4 weeks in, that's a surprise.
No, it absolutely is. This is one of those first quarter of the year things that you're going to go back in December and you might go back. It's not that you're definitely going to go back, but when I think about week two, week three, week four, and like you said, C.J. Stroud and Puka Nacua every single week. This is now 4 weeks with this particular stat that no rookie has ever done their first 3 weeks, their first 4 weeks, now their first 5 weeks, whatever happens this week. I hope they keep it up, but we've seen that happen so often that somebody comes on the scene that's brand new and the bright, shiny toy. And after the first 3, 4, 5 weeks, it's like, oh my God, look at this. This is unbelievable. And then by the time week 15, 16 comes around and they've hurt themselves or lost their effectiveness, I'm not wishing it on Stroud or Nacua, but I'm just saying this is one of those perfect setups where guys shine in the first quarter of the season and then the flame peters out because nobody can keep, if you can keep it up all year at that kind of pace, then you are Marshall Faulk. Then you are, Justin
right.
Jefferson or something like that. Maybe they are the next. So we'll see. But yeah, absolutely. Give all the flowers to CJ Stroud right now, lighting up Pittsburgh. He makes Houston dangerous, which, yeah, that is a big surprise because who would ever thought we'd be calling the Houston Texans dangerous? And they absolutely are. And then the Titans, no telling what week they're going to be like showing up. by the way, that leads into the defensive fantasy update that everybody's been waiting for my fantasy team. Because we were talking about what defense
right.
do I only use.
I told you to hang tight with the Jets last week.
Yeah. And we were
Did
discussing.
Did that not work out?
No, it didn't. We were discussing other.
You had picks coming off the board in questionable manners.
Well, shit happens. That, like you said, team defenses can be very, very fickle.
You segued off of the Titans on this one. Was that one of the ones I had told you to get?
We were discussing possible free agent defenses because the defenses that I owned were the Jets and Bills.
Yeah.
And I was looking at both of those matchups like, I don't really want to use either one of
Correct.
Them, but I don't want to go find random free agent
right.
defense. Well, the breakdown goes like this. Jets put up 7 points on defense. Bills put up 9.
Oh, Okay.
Titans, off the waiver wire, put up 12 on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
So I could have used them. The defense that I really should have picked up, since I had them as my lock, would be the Jaguars, who put up 20. So that it really hurts, because I lost the game last week by 2 points.
Oh, no.
By less than 2 points.
Less than
so
two.
Any
so
of those
played the Bills.
Any of those defenses, any
Man.
One of them, would have been better than using the Jets.
They
and the Jets
the Jets killed you. Seven's not the worst.
Right. They didn't play bad defense against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs.
No, they
just didn't play
they
good
played
enough.
Admirably. They just didn't
right.
get the pick six or the,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Random sacks and fumbles and all. Yeah, yeah. So that's
the
way it goes.
I hate it.
I'm not going to win this league. I'm 1-3. It's all my running backs keep getting hurt. My receivers are now starting to get hurt. T. Higgins broke a rib. It's not my year. It's just not my year, man. So that's what the update everyone, I'm sure, was waiting on.
I was listening to last week's show, and I was thinking about that. And I did not think to ask about it, so I'm glad you gave us the update, because I'm sure that was on everybody's mind.
Of course. Because nothing is more compelling than fantasy football talk. Anyway, where are we?
Let down.
Did I get my surprise?
You.
I did not get my surprise yet.
Oh, okay.
So the last Jets series, speaking of the Jets game,
yeah.
and that wild Sunday night game, Kansas City takes the lead on the field goal, and Zach Wilson immediately responds by dropping a snap and giving the game away to the Chiefs, because he never got the ball back after that, because the Chiefs were able to run out the clock. The surprise is not that Zach Wilson fucked something up. The surprise is that Zach Wilson, after the game, he took the blame.
He manned up.
He did.
He grew up a little bit.
He absolutely did.
I'm glad you called this one out.
I was shocked. Like, what? This guy?
That's why it's a surprise.
The direct quote was, "To be driving right there to drop a snap, I cannot do that," unquote. Wow. You know what? Good for him.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers is rubbing off on a little guy, you know?
After last year, is there anything you can do to help your team? No.
No.
Okay.
Oh, thanks, Zach. Why don't you go sack yourself?
I was very surprised to see that Zach Wilson actually did some growing up. I don't know if that's Aaron Rodgers or if that's just you're in New York and you're going to have to actually man up and figure out a way to take responsibility, or else that media is going to continue to eat you alive like they have been doing. So in the midst of another terrible season, at least he learned how to take responsibility off the field after the game. So good for him.
That quite literally was a surprise.
It really was.
I am with you on that one. Good.
All right. Now on to your letdown.
Even though I won the pick by the slimmest of margins, how can you be the Los Angeles San Diego Clipper Chargers and not absolutely put away the LV Raiders and Aiden O'Connell? They let that guy hang around and hang around and hang around and put that game into question late. No Jimmy G, you're going to a backup, and you let the backup absolutely scare you at your own house. There's no way that you should do that. And for a team that hasn't exactly been playing the best ball so far, I mean, they're 2-2. A lot of teams, you can go places from 2-2. Season's not anywhere close to being over, but you haven't been the most impressive team so far. You are in a soft spot against a team missing its starting quarterback. You've got some, I dare to say, random Allen back there starting for the Raiders in this last game, and you can cover by a half a point. I mean, that was a letdown. Even though they won, they covered, I won the pick, all that's great. You should have absolutely boat raced these guys, and you didn't. That just can't bode well for them. They escaped the week before against the Vikings because they were playing the only team in football that might be stupider than them. And then they go home, get right spot, team with its backup quarterback, and you still have to muddle your way through it. That's just absolutely got to be a letdown for a team that people expected to take a next step.
You know, part of the reason why they let down that game, your favorite coach going for it in their own end. Again.
Go coach.
Oh, my God.
Balls Dude. Of Staley.
No, it got better. He topped himself. Went for it in his own half of the field with a quarterback who just busted his finger previously in the game. Yeah, sure. Sneak that guy. That guy with a busted finger. Good job. Good idea. Good job. Good effort. What the hell? And still found a way to win and cover and take one of the two picks that you had head-to-head against me. Also, that game contributed to the terrible, no-good week of the of my worst of the week, the Bears.
The Bears!
The Bears!
What in the world did that game have to do with the Chicago Bears? It's because who needs Joey Bosa on the field when Khalil Mack turns back the clock and gets six sacks?
Six sacks.
Six of them.
I'm pretty sure John Gruden said those kinds of guys are hard to find.
Very much. That's why you don't trade guys like that.
Oh,
well,
whoops.
Apparently you do. I don't know. That's just part of it. Yeah, the Bears could use somebody like that right now. But
yeah, did Roquan have six sacks too?
Well,
that was a whooping that they put on Cleveland, and we did not talk about it. But
right. No, he may not have had six sacks, but they handled the old DTR very easily. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he only had 10 tackles.
Oh, that's all. Bears can't use that either. No.
10 tackles and 2 pass defenses, but no sacks. So he's a bum.
Terrible. That's why the Bears got rid of him.
That's why they traded him. Roquan's a bum.
Right. My letdown of the week. The worst loss in the 498-game career of the GOAT coach. 38-3.
Mm.
38-3. And
it was to Mike McCarthy.
And like I said in my picking of that game where I took New England and the points, the blueprint's there, man. Run the football and control the clock, and the Cowboys will let you do it because they're light defensive front. Now, I understand the game script got out of hand after Mac Jones starts giving the ball away and throwing it to the other team and pick six and all that. And you can't run the ball when you're down, 90-0 in the first quarter. I get it, but I would still have committed to the run because you're not going to win with Mac Jones throwing you back in the game. That sure the hell isn't going to work. So why not just stay committed? I don't understand. I really don't. Why New England didn't commit to the run. Mac Jones got benched at one point. He was trying too hard. He was trying to rally everybody back and throwing even more interceptions and fumbling it away and all that. And as far as I'm concerned, that's Belichick's fault too, because he has no confidence because he knows he sucks. You haven't used him correctly, and when you try to use him, you overuse him, and he doesn't play any good. I don't understand it. Where was Zeke Elliott?
This was the revenge game, right?
The Cowboys for neutralizing and then making the Patriots one-dimensional just like they did to the Jets. So give the Cowboys their credit for doing it, but come on. The 2.3 yards per carry as a team. 2.3? Yeah. They didn't give Belichick a reason to stick with the run, but I still would have done it anyway because that's the only way you had any chance at all to win that game. But you didn't, and you wind up losing by 35, worst outing of his career, and that was a big letdown for me.
It was, good bounce back for the Cowboys, right? After that embarrassment that they had. So that they were due for a bounce back spot. But last week we had 7 games that classified as blowouts. I mean, you had 7 different times teams lost where the opponent got over 20 and they were held under 10. I mean, so, 7 games where teams only couldn't even get out into the double digits for points. And the other team, the lowest point total of any of those teams was 23 on the winning side. So, that's 7 blowouts by what I would figure blowouts last week. That's just wild.
Yeah, that's
a lot of ugly one-sided games last week. Yeah, we had 23-7 Jacksonville, Atlanta, 28-3 with Baltimore, 26-9 with Tampa, 30-6 Houston, we already talked about, 27-3 Cincinnati in Tennessee, 38-3 in this one, 24-3 Seattle and the Giants. That's a lot of blowout football.
It is. And usually we look at it when it's a lot of close games. We go, well, it's the NFL. You don't know. You can't tell from 1 week to – yeah, a lot of parity.
Yeah.
Wasn't a lot of parity last week.
No, it was blowouts. Almost half the games were blowouts last week. And
well,
then
I mean,
you had the competitive games were blowouts in some of them, like Buffalo blew out Miami. You know, there were very few close games last week.
That was a hell of a game for a quarter and a half. So all those blowouts means you had a lot of choices for your struggling. So which one?
Struggling.
Which one did you go with?
I have not yet. We are now going into week five here, giving out our award for week four. So this is our fourth time going through. I have managed to take it very easy on the refs. But that holding call at the end of Jets-Chiefs, which was scrutinized over and over, might, you know, if you're going to have that conspiratorial bent to you and watch football, there is no way that you can watch that play of defensive holding called on Sauce Gardner. I believe that was against MVS, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Where there's a call for defensive holding, you know, up, you know, 20 yards before the actual play itself, which was an interception, a horrible interception to Patrick Mahomes threw into triple coverage. The receiver wasn't even looking for the ball. And you've got crystal clear video of the ref on the side throwing the flag way after the interception on a defensive holding call that happened 20 yards up the field. Wait, really early in the play. This guy waits, he double clutches, and he waits to throw the flag until the pick is thrown. And if that doesn't leave you scratching your head or wondering, is there something really going on here? That was it right there, all in a nutshell. We talk about the NFL and its complicity and this Taylor Swift thing and how it's all about the money. The Jets were hanging around in that game. You can't have that kind of a look. And we've seen this happen a few times now where it's just well documented on film where all of a sudden there's a negative play and then the flag comes out.
I guess I got to call this now.
Yeah, then the flag comes in. You saw a defensive holding 20 yards up the field, and then you wait for the ball, you know, for to move around and dance around and then chuck an absolutely ugly ball into triple coverage. Should have been his fourth pick of the game, because the third pick of the game he should have thrown got dropped. He only ended up officially with two on the books, but that was an ugly play at the worst possible time that would have put the Jets in a great spot to, you know, pull the upset. And just not a good look for the NFL, for the refs. Social media was explodes the next day, and there were enough breakdowns of that play and, you know, and the spot box on that ref throwing the flag. Well, and then to call something that happened so early in the play, so far up the field. If it was defensive hold, why, that flag should have been out already. You can't wait until the play is over and then go, oh, Patrick Mahomes threw a pick. I better fix this. not a good look for the league and the refs who struggle enough as it is that when you have something that looks that bad and is that blatant, I'm sure there's a perfectly benign reason for it, but that's not a good look for the league or for the refs.
No, it is terrible. It does make it seem like, oh, our star player made another boo-boo. Let me go make this right and call this flag here. I'm glad you didn't say that it shouldn't have been defensive holding, because it was absolutely defensive holding on Sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Now, can you say there's holding like that throughout the game on all the other DBs? Yeah, absolutely. But that was definitely holding. The flag should have been thrown. It should have been thrown a lot more timely, as you're saying. They tried to make Robert Saleh have a heart attack. He was losing his
shit. He got flagged.
Yeah. Because he was absolutely, he wanted to like take, he wanted to take his hands and put them on the refs. Like
he doesn't seem like the kind of guy you want to get on the bad side of.
I don't want to make him mad. I know that. He does not look like someone I want to make mad. And he's usually not the type to get mad. He's very even keel. But
yeah.
For that particular play, his face was turning red, and he was had the Ralph Cramden bug eyes, and he really did not like that call at all. And I don't blame him. I don't blame him for getting mad because the timing did look really bad. However, it was a penalty. But yeah, that was a crazy game Sunday night. And some really bad mistakes by Patrick Mahomes. So yeah, that's two games now that the Jets have hung around in at home. One they pulled out, and the other one they just barely lost, but they did cover. Although they could have not covered that if Pat Mahomes wanted to run that ball into the end zone on the last play instead of sliding in bounds.
Was there some money sticking out of his back pocket?
Another bad beat. Whoever had money on the Chiefs and gave the 8 points or however many it was. 8.5. Oh my gosh. I feel for you. That's all I can say.
Yeah, we were both. I think that was one of our L's.
Yes, we both had that pick, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think I bet that one. So I'm
good.
So glad I didn't. I think I'd remember if I did, and I'd probably lead off the show with a string of expletives if I did put money on that. And I got to look at the college scores as soon as this show's over because I got a good amount of money riding on Colorado tonight if they can hold on to their win. But anyway. So yeah, I know you wanted to make the refs struggling and have something to say basically since week one. Like you've had it out for some of the refereeing pretty much from as soon as the season started. So I guess that's good restraint on you for not ripping them all season. But that one you just had to say something.
Well, that
about
one
it.
Was so sussy.
Yeah, pretty egregious. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it just wasn't the right call. Yeah, most likely it was the right call. I think that holding, both offensive and defensive holding, is the best keep scores close option in the league. Because if you want to extend drives or kill drives or stall momentum or give a team momentum, you could throw that flag pretty much any time you want.
You can have it every play.
And yeah, and that one really just hit the spot as far as, well, we need this one right now. Oh, Mahomes just threw a pick into triple coverage. For a receiver who wasn't even looking for the ball. So let's flag the defensive holding that happened 20 yards up the field on that. No. That flag should have already been – those guys should have been tripping over that flag on their way up the sideline. That thing should have been flying in there, and instead it wasn't. And to, you know, and then you start to hear the apologists talking about how – well, sometimes they wait to – no, you should never – if it's a foul, it's a foul.
Yeah. There's no waiting. If he held the receiver up, then throw the flag, no matter what the play call winds up being.
A foul is a foul. You know the NBA refs don't wait to – don't swallow the whistle and then – oh, and the shot doesn't drop. Foul.
Unfortunately, that happens sometimes, too.
Well, but it shouldn't.
It shouldn't. But yeah, if LeBron takes a bad three and it just clanks off, and sometimes you get that whistle. Oh, he got hit on the elbow. We got to
Get
the line. Yeah, that happens there too.
This, though,
unfortunately.
This was like delayed reaction, though.
Right. No, it's definitely a struggle fest for the refs when you do something like that.
Yeah, it's a hard job, right? I mean, it's not like it's an easy job, but when you don't want to put the spotlight on yourself like that in that spot. And yeah, again, if that flag had been out, yeah, sure, maybe people want to, you know, talk about the validity or the ticky-tackiness of the foul or say, well, that's been happening the whole game, and now they wait to – yeah, we've seen plenty of games like that where they'll swallow the whistle and then something conveniently gets called. We've had last two Super Bowls have ended that way.
We can go back and adjudicate those as well. Yeah. It is a problem.
We get your struggling?
Struggling.
No, we've been beating up on New York football because I gave the Jets my struggling for all that garbage from last week, and you give the other refs the struggling here. So I'll keep beating up on New York football. Let's go to Monday night, time for the other New York team to get the name of treatment because the New York Giants, you know, they have pieces to be a tough team, but they're so bad at some very key elements of football, like tackling and pass
yeah,
protection.
What? We're practicing the tush push?
Yeah, all of that. So the Giants allow the Seahawks to just romp 10 sacks of Danny Dimes. 10. Man.
The Seahawks went from being one of the worst to the best in the league in sacks thanks to that one game.
Hey, we can pressure the quarterback. We just have to play the Giants. Oh, man.
I think you actually undersold on that one. I actually think it was 11.
I think it was 11 as a team. I think Danny Dimes got 10 and somebody else got one or something.
Yeah, but it was a lot.
He never had a chance. He never had a chance in that game. And that pick six to Devin Witherspoon made Brian Daboll, that made him about as mad as Robert Saleh the night before. We had New York coaches losing their shit and their heads exploding on primetime football for the world to see. Because Daboll, took that pad thing to look at the previous plays or whatever and basically fired it at Danny Dimes while he was sitting on the bench after that pick. Like, what are you doing, kid? What is this? So I don't think that relationship
is
going
very
well.
Yeah, because I don't think I think he launched it because I don't think Danny Dimes is I don't know what was said there, but I don't think it was a positive exchange. I don't think he was too impressed with his star quarterback, star quarterback on that. I was watching the Manning cast version of that game and quite hilarious. They trashed the Giants that whole night. Well, of course, Eli played for the Giants.
Yeah, right.
So he's not secretly rooting for them in the game. It was not good.
No, if you're a Giants fan and you're watching that, I'm shocked there wasn't a bleep button and a string of expletives from Eli.
Those guys keep it pretty fresh. They're not they're not dropping the F-bombs. You probably could have.
Right. Maybe Pat McAfee will take over their role someday, and then it'll be all the F-bombs and S-bombs and everything else. All right, let's get some Danielle going. What in week four made you say?
The game 72-71.
I hate to pick on the team that won, and a team that won impressively on Thursday night in the Detroit Lions. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But what did they draft Jahmyr Gibbs for? Why? They used a top pick, their number one pick on this running back. Dan Campbell says, we are going to use this guy in ways you won't expect. You know what I didn't expect? That way would be to not use him at all.
He said you wouldn't expect it.
I didn't expect it. What the hell's going on with them and Jahmyr Gibbs? David Montgomery goes 32 for a .121 on the night, punches it in three times into the end zone, and your first round draft pick running back can barely sniff the field. This guy's supposed to be useful in the passing game. He's an elusive runner. He was, after the first 2 weeks, on pace, if he would have just played through the season, to break the all-time record for forced missed tackles because he's that elusive. And they just decide to give it to old 3 yards and a cloud of dust, David Montgomery. It was effective in that game against the Packers, but I'm sorry. You don't expend that. The Falcons very quickly transitioned here now to where it's the Bijan Robinson show, right?
Right.
And Tyler Allgeier is, now second guy. Where in the first game, it was a little bit more uneven, and, it was feeling the way. And you kind of expect that early in the season because you got an established back in the league, but now you're working in the stud. That's not happening with Detroit, where that's completely over with in Atlanta. What the hell are they doing with Jahmyr Gibbs? Why would you first of all, if you're not going to use the guy, why would you expend the draft capital? That's what blows me away.
Right.
To use that high of a draft pick when you could have had any other number of these guys who could have contributed to your team. If you were just going to keep giving the ball to David Montgomery, effectively so, now you're being stupid. I don't like that move by the Detroit Lions so far. What the fuck are they doing?
The first thing they're doing is adding and contributing to the terrible Bears week by having David Montgomery be a complete superstar. So that was a part of it. It was just the shit on Chicago week is basically what that clued into. So it kind of makes sense when you look at the meathead, you know, knee-biting coach, Dan Campbell. I think they're just doing the old school way of running a football team, which is, I don't care how high we draft you as a rookie, you're going to come in and pay your dues. You're doing the Dusty Baker. You're going to be behind the veteran, and you're going to pay your dues. And when I decide that you're good enough to be used in a more positive manner, then that's when I'll use you, but not a day before. So I think that's basically all that is. That's how he's going to run his team.
He's got to earn it.
He's got to earn it. He's got to, you know, serve behind the veteran, and this is how it's done. You're going to watch the veteran, and that's how we want it to be done, and you're going to learn from him, and then you're going to get in there when we feel like putting you in there. So it doesn't make a lot of sense when you think about how high they draft a running back. With very few teams draft running backs that high, you would think they would immediately stick them in there, but no, you're going to stay behind. You're going to serve behind, and you're going to watch and learn, and we'll put you in there when we feel like putting you in there. He said, we're going to use him in ways you wouldn't expect. And that's exactly what he's doing.
He's doing it to a T.
That's the only thing I can possibly explain that as. I don't have to go on too long about my what the fuck, because I kind of touched on it a little bit. But just the fact that it was some bad deja vu in the Meadowlands for that Sunday night game, because it was very similar to the win over the Bills, the Jets playing very similar, outclassing basically the Chiefs. Like they outclassed the Bills in that Monday night game that the Bills had every right to run over them and win, and just the Jets would not let them. They said, no, we're going to play strong, and we're going to make Project throw some arm punts, and we're going to steal that game. They almost stole this game against the Chiefs. The D started affecting the star quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, and making him make some bad plays and some bad turnovers, and they gave the Jets a chance to win. And I'm just sitting there, you know, as somebody who picked it, like I said, I didn't have money on it, but we both picked the Chiefs to romp and go in there and, you know, bring the whole Taylor Swift bandwagon in and just be the stars of the show. And it wasn't going like that at all. And it's like, what the fuck? What are we doing here? Like, I respect the Jets very much, especially the defense, but they shouldn't have beat the Bills, and I don't think they should have competed with the Chiefs. They're not on that level, especially with that quarterback, Zach Wilson, although there's nobody better behind him. It's not like it would be, you know, a different story if they had Trevor Siemian out there. I don't think that would make a difference. So either way, but I just really don't think the Jets should be competing in these games, but they kind of are, like, despite themselves. And it's a little inspiring to watch, but it's also a little annoying because I keep picking against them, and they keep showing up and having these strong efforts. And I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Come well, not on. Only that, it's got to be frustrating. It's frustrating as well because you know you're watching one of the top three defenses in the league, right?
And you got an argument for that?
Yeah. Just shoot themselves in the foot on the offensive side of the football. So that you know that the team is destined to go nowhere, but they are going to make it hell for teams during the season. And the fact that they lost to New England, talk about frustrating. Like, you beat the Bills. You could have beaten and should have possibly
beaten the
Chiefs. And then you couldn't beat Mac Jones in
right.
The game. That was my letdown the previous week. It's like, you had to win that game.
Right. Yeah, the underdog.
Yes.
And whenever that rematch comes up down the road, jump all over that under again, folks. Throw all your money on that under again if you didn't do it the first time, because I don't imagine it's going to
be
much different.
29.5 the next time those two play. And hammer it.
Yeah.
Hammer that under.
I don't have a whole lot to say about the loss of the one of the most legendary linebackers in the history of football, except the fact that, unfortunately, seeing his name,
Sky Point,
seeing his name in the news, the first thing that came to my mind was immediately flashing back to one of the many corrupt idiot governors that we've had for the state of Illinois, George Ryan, who was, I don't know if you even remember this happening, if you ever heard of it happening, but he's supposed to be introducing Mike Ditka at some event or other. This is about probably 10 years ago. And showing his complete lack of sports awareness, he gets up there, he goes through this long introduction, he's winding up, and he's about to introduce him, and he finishes off, George Ryan does, with, Here he is, the coach, the Hall of Famer, Dick Butka. I was like, what? What the fuck is Dick Butka? So clearly he got Dick Butkas on his brain and didn't
know. Oh, my God.
Didn't figure out between Mike Ditka and Dick Butkas and came up with Dick Butka. And I promise you, I searched everywhere for that sound drop because it's out there somewhere, but I couldn't find it, so I don't have it. But you have to take my word for it, folks. Google George Ryan Dick Butka, and that story is out there. So unfortunately, that's the first thing I think of when I think of Dick Butkas. Not because he wasn't an absolute great, but simply because he was before our time. We never saw him play. He was through playing right by the time we started watching football.
But, you know, growing up with that team in that 85, he was always around.
Right.
You know.
He was definitely like a Bears mascot for 40 years.
We've seen all the John Facenda highlights of Dick, mm-hmm. of Dick Butkus.
Dick Butka. Yeah, with the bleeding hands and the
shot
bubbles and the hits that he was making. And
every tackle in his career was a personal foul in today's NFL.
The clothesline got outlawed by players such as Dick Butkus. I'm not saying directly because of Dick Butkus, but the clothesline used to be a part of football and got outlawed because of people like Dick Butkus, who was absolutely one of the greatest linebackers of all time and a great Chicago Bear. And rest in peace to Dick Butkus and Dick Butka. All right. For that, the Bears apparently got their mojo on and got their tribute in to Dick Butka and gave us a victory to start off the week Thursday night, so we're very happy about that. And we both were trying to be cute. We both thought the team Manderskins would actually be the better team and win the game, but just not
Doesn't
cover.
Matter.
We both knew that they didn't deserve
we're geniuses.
6 points.
Doesn't
eight.
Matter.
Doesn't
we
matter.
Win.
We won. And I won money, so I'm very happy about it. So we got 13 more games to pick for week 5 coming up. We'll do that in a couple of minutes. You are listening live to In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Not on the radio, but only here on the website, blogtalkradio.com/InMuchLessDetail. To be notified when we're live, you can follow the show on the Blog Talk Radio website, or you can follow my Twitter feed at IMLDDre. When I tweet out when we're live before every show. Jason is on Twitter too. His feed is at IMLDJTG. Our show is available as a podcast where you get the live show and a special VIP after show. To listen to the show as a podcast, about an hour or so after the live show is over, come back to the show page and look through our archives, or subscribe on iTunes or any number of different podcasting apps, including Player.fm, Mixcloud, Blueberry, and the TuneIn Radio app. You'll get the whole show, the live show and the after show, downloaded straight to you. You can always send us a question or comment or shout out via email to the following email address, inmuchlessdetail@gmail.com. You can follow all of our picks on our blog. The website for the blog is inmuchlessdetail.blogspot.com. Our Thursday night picks will be available Thursday afternoon on our Twitter feeds. Again, that's at IMLDDre and at IMLDJTG. This copyrighted broadcast is a production of Jay and Me and is solely performed for our entertainment, as well as for any poor soul who happens to be listening. It is intended to be a football pick show for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any publication, reproduction, retransmission, or any other use of the descriptions and accounts of this podcast without the express written consent of Jay or me is strictly prohibited. Start of the bye season in the NFL. First bye week's being taken this week. So those fans of the Browns, the Chargers, the Seahawks, and the Buccaneers can take a week off and take a breath and get ready for week 6. How'd you think of your picks this week? Were they difficult for you?
No. Which is scary.
You feel good about them?
No.
Wait. So the picks were easy, but you don't feel good about them?
Always.
Okay. Fair enough. not quite sure what to make of that. I'm like very much in the middle this week. I don't feel bad about them, and I don't think it was difficult, but I don't think it was easy, and I don't have the greatest of confidence. I'm very, very much in the middle. I don't know what that means either, But my lock kind of jumped out at me like, oh, yeah, definitely. Which
I'm being snuck up on again here.
Uh-oh.
Rawr! why aren't you in bed? It's bed. Oh, are you saying good night? All right, come here. Good night. What are you doing? Are you breathing on the microphone?
Hi.
Good night, buddy. See you in the morning. You're a dinosaur. All right.
Wait, he went from a turtle back to a dinosaur.
Good night, buddy. Okay.
Having identity issues. He's identifying as a lot of different things. I guess
he's
in
a
that
turtle sore.
Okay. He's in that experimental phase at the moment. All right.
Yeah.
We will start our picks for week 5 back overseas again in London, this time at the soccer stadium. I've been Tottenham Hotspur for the Jags and the Bills. As you said, the Bills are the home team. Doesn't really matter. They're really the Jaguars are the home team because they're the London Jaguars. They're the first team ever to play 2 straight games in London, getting practice in for what they're eventually going to be when they move out of Jacksonville permanently. Bills are 3-1. Jags are 2-2. A lot of injury issues. Jags might get Zay Jones back at receiver from his knee injury, but they will not have their linebacker Devin Lloyd. He's out with a thumb injury. For the Bills, of course, in their big win last week, they unfortunately had to say goodbye again to Tre'Davious White, who tore his Achilles this time.
Man.
So another season-ending injury for him. The tough star cornerback just can't stay on the field. But they're trying to get Von Miller on the field tomorrow. Wants to make his debut. For pass rushing purposes, and they're going to need him because Gregory Rousseau is out with a foot injury. So after all that, the Bills are the big favorites over in London, -5.5 versus the Jags.
And a sneaky spot for the Buffalo Bills coming off of that huge blowout win against the Dolphins. The Jags, what last time these teams met, that was that 9-6 Jags win. Down in Jacksonville when they were 14.5-point underdogs. That was the poster child game for the Bills of not getting up their opponent, right?
Yeah,
because we highlighted that game as the reason they did not get home field.
Right.
Was
you got to win that game.
You went down to Jacksonville, you are a 2+ touchdown favorite, and you lose a field goal matchup to the Jags. So,
yeah.
But that was because the Buffalo Bills take bad opponents lightly, and the Jags aren't a bad opponent this time. This is a good Jaguars team. I don't think the Bills are going to come in there expecting to show up playing the Jags basically on their home turf, even though it's a home game for the Bills. The Jags are very comfortable playing in London. They did it last week. They blew the doors off the Falcons, playoff team last year. I'm riding the hot hand team here. I'm sticking with the Bills. I'm giving the points. Weird things happen in London. I get all that. The Jags have played these guys tough the last few times, but totally different Jags team, and the Bills are rolling. So I'm going to take Buffalo, give the points.
Yeah, I even had that in my notes. But we know what the lackadaisical Bills look like because they went to Jacksonville a couple of years ago and lost 9-6. So I absolutely referenced that. This is basically all about will the Bills fall down after rising up versus the Miami Dolphins. Like, Diggs ain't having that game 2 weeks in a row. I love Stephon Diggs, but he's not doing that 2 weeks in a row. He's not having 3 touchdowns and tearing away from defenders. Is he? I don't think he is. So that's really the only question to me is will the Bills continue to play like they've played after that Jets game? They seem like they're a different team. They seem like a different focus. The quarterback definitely seems different, and it still sticks with me how he took responsibility after the Jets game for his arm punts and his bad play because he looked like shaken by it. Like he looked like he really was affected, realizing it almost like it finally dawned on him, okay, we might be damn good. We might even be a champion if I could just stop making stupid plays. Just stop being stupid. So Project, since that Jets debacle, has been superb. I'm going to concur. I think he's going to keep it up. I think they're a new team, a different team. I hope it lasts all the way through the end of the year because I picked them to win the title. But I'm going to take the Bills and give the 5.5 along with you, and I'd say they keep up that good play. Coming back stateside for the rest of the Sunday action, we'll start with the Houston Texans and the Atlanta Falcons. They're both 2-2, and yet they feel very different. One team feels like they just have a lot more going for them than the other. The Texans might get Laremy Tunsil back at left tackle from his knee injury. At home, the Falcons are the very slight favorite. They lay 1.5 hosting Houston.
Yeah, well, last time the Falcons were a 1.5-point favorite, guess what? They won and didn't cover. So let's hope we don't get a replay of that one. No, the question here, yeah, Houston seems more like the known commodity. Like, we know what we're going to get. Stroud's been playing great. He's distributing the ball. He doesn't look like a rookie. Hasn't had that rookie moment game yet. He's going to have him. He's not going to be perfect through the season. Atlanta's the team that you have to seem to try. Like, they're the riddle, not the Ritter, the riddle that you have to try to unlock here. And, well, and to me, it just breaks down to, is Atlanta playing against a team that they can exploit with the ground game? Can Bijan Robinson and Algier and that running attack move the ball effectively and efficiently against Houston? Yeah, Houston's not a very good run D. They're bottom middle of the league right now, but historically a very easy team to run against. Atlanta's 2-0 at home. Also, sneaky defense coming out of the Falcons right now. Fourth in the league against the pass. Would you have ever thought that?
No.
I'm sorry, fifth in the league against the pass. Fourth in total defense. So maybe this is the game, you know, where C.J. Stroud finds Jesse Bates or A.J. Terrell or somebody makes a big play or they get to him and they shake him up a little bit. I'm going to take Atlanta here at home in a very close contest.
Okay. Yeah, Bird's back from England to face the feisty Texans. I historically don't like taking any team that plays in England the week before and then gets on a plane, comes back, and plays in America the very next week. I think I already trust the Houston quarterback over the Atlanta one. He's only been on the league for 4 weeks.
I'm on the countdown to Tyler Heineken here.
You're looking for some beer, man. Yeah, I'm with you. The Falcons have to run for 250 to win this one. So I agree with your principle absolutely straight out. If the Falcons can dominate the game on the ground, then they can win the game. But I think they have to, like, completely dominate and completely control the time of possession, because if they're up and they give C.J. Stroud enough time, he's got no fear. He's got zero fear. He's going to bomb them back and win the game through the air. And if they don't control the ground game and don't control the clock and give C.J. Stroud all the time that he wants, and he's just going to carve them up anyway. I think the Falcons are improved defensively, but I don't know if that's going to hold up on the fast track in the dome against C.J. Stroud and his receivers the way they're playing right now. I don't know who's going to really slow them down too much. So I'm going to take the Texans in this one. But it should be an interesting matchup. On to Carolina and Detroit. The Panthers are not interesting to anybody. They are 0-4. The Lions are 3-1. But they've got issues. Amon-Ra St. Brown got an ab strain. He's not going to play tomorrow. They're going to gamble on Jameson Williams being ready to play. You see what I did there. Coming back from his suspension, which is a lot shorter than they thought it was going to be. They got reduced during the week. Jahmyr Gibbs, I went back to the NBA for a second. Jahmyr Gibbs has a hammy, so that might be more David Montgomery tomorrow, because I don't know how much they didn't want to give Jahmyr Gibbs a lot of time anyway. They're going to give him even less if he's got a hamstring that he's dealing with. In this one, the Panthers are the big underdogs, Bryce Young and the Panthers plus 9.5 at the Lions.
Yeah, it's a big number. I'm taking the points here. Injuries for the Lions, they're a little bit nicked up. Carolina has been, they're bad. I don't know if they're just blowout bad here at this point. You know, I think that Detroit's going to, you know, have these moments where as an up-and-coming team, that, you know, especially as a big home dog, when was the last time that the Lions, first of all, were a 9.5-point favorite against anybody? if you don't think that the players see that, if that doesn't go anything towards, hey, we're just going to be able to show up and we're going to win this game. This feels like that kind of game where I think the Lions are going to win, but I think it's going to be a little bit more contested than they're expecting. Carolina is really bad, but they do have fight in them, so they haven't quit. I mean, but they are bad. So I'm going to take the Lions, purely a points play here. So I'm Lions to win, Panthers to cover the big number.
I can't touch Carolina straight up with Bryce Young sucking that bad. And Carolina's rumored to be open to trading for a top wide receiver. Because, yeah, that's the problem. That'll solve everything. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's all they need, like, is just a top receiver.
Wait, didn't they have DJ Moore? Those guys are hard to find. John Gruden told me that.
I'm going to concur and take the Panthers and the points.
I'm excited about doing that.
I'm extremely apprehensive to do that, but and as much as I respect Ben Johnson and his play calling for the Lions, I actually think the Lions are one of the teams that rely the most on their top guys. Like Amon-Ra St. Brown's production, if he's not there, that's a lot. That's a lot of production to try to replace. I think Jared Goff's confidence and good play over the last couple of years definitely coincides with Amon-Ra St. Brown's emergence as a top receiver. And I don't – if he makes a star immediately out of Jamison Williams and he makes Josh Reynolds into a big play tomorrow, then good on them. But I don't really see that happening, so I'm going to take the points in the Panthers. Obviously, I don't feel great about that. Onto the AFC South, Titans and Colts. They're both 2-2, and they can both be hard to figure out. Titans will not have Treylon Burks with a knee injury, but Indianapolis has defensive issues. They're not going to have Darius Leonard or Kwity Paye up front, but the man got his money, apparently, Jonathan Taylor. All is good. He's off the injury report, this ankle injury, which was never really a thing. But that's what they were using to.
He feels better.
That's exactly right. All of a sudden, he got the bag. He got the bag, and all of a sudden, he feels much better.
Wait, I feel better. Yes, I can stand. I can walk. I can mumble. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm a
and he can play running back for the Colts tomorrow, magically. How about that? With all of that, the Titans are the favorites in Indianapolis. They will give 2.5 at the Colts.
Not so worried about I just forgot his name. Jonathan Taylor. Whoa! Yeah, it's late. They're not so worried about him coming back for this game. This is the kind of game you're probably going to have him on a limited pitch count. They're going to ease him back in. A little, probably more Zach Moss, but I say this is a good spot because it's the worst spot. So if that makes sense. So you don't have real high hopes or expectations because the only thing the Tennessee Titans can do is stop the run. That's it. They are all, you know, in fantasy perspectives, they call this a pass funnel, apparently, you know,
yeah.
Where they are so stout against the run, but so leaky on the back end that everything goes through the air against them. Good luck if you can figure out the Titans. I mean, I was calling them the Heckle and Jide team, and that's exactly right. Ugly loss, surprising win. Ugly loss, surprising win, which would mean, oh, yeah, ugly loss. I've got the Colts.
This goes into that time. Okay. You figure out the Titans and let me know. You pick them at your own peril, pick against them at your own peril. You know what I see with Anthony Richardson? I see similarities to Justin Fields right now as a playmaker from the quarterback position. He can make a lot of plays. He can make it happen. He's electric. Yeah. But, boy, he can win a game and he can lose it. He can make some terrible mistakes. Definitely looks like a rookie at times out there. So it's really a toss-up for both of these teams. So I definitely don't have a lot of confidence in this pick, but I'm going to take the Titans and give the 2.5. I got a feeling he's going to make the mistake at the end of the game and find a way to lose.
I mean, he might make a left-handed jump pass out of his own end zone for a pick six. We've seen that from the Colts against the Titans.
That we have. Hang on, I lost my earplug. I gotta hold really, really still because, as I told you before, the ear jack in this microphone is loose. I basically need a new microphone. Anyway, let's go to Giants, Dolphins, Miami trying to get back on track after that loss to Buffalo, and Danny Dimes of the Giants trying to get back on track after whatever that was on Monday night. Giants are 1-3. Dolphins are 3-1. Giants O-line continues to be wrecked. We'll have several starters missing, including their best tackle, Andrew Thomas. Saquon Barkley in that ankle, he's still trying to get on the field. I still think he's going to miss more weeks this week, and maybe I think they're on bye next week. But he's still questionable. He's still going to be possibly out there, but I doubt he's going to play tomorrow. Dolphins have O-line issues of their own. They had to put Teron Armstead on injured reserve with a knee injury, so we won't see him until November at the earliest. Despite that, the Dolphins are still the biggest favorites of the week. Giants are 12.5-point dogs down in Miami.
Talk about teams that are easy to figure out. The Giants have played 4 full football games. They have played 2 quarters out of 16. The rest of the season, they have been absolute garbage, right? They played 1 half, the second half of that Cardinals game, and that save our season moment, and leaned so heavily on Saquon Barkley, they knocked him out.
killed him.
And ever since then, before and after those 2 quarters against the Arizona Cardinals, the Giants have been absolute trash. So easy to figure out. 12.5, it's not enough. Dolphins, lock it up.
Yeah, got to go with the fish fry as well. I still don't know why Brian Daboll doesn't just go full Project Junior with Danny Dimes. Like, you're trying to force him to hang in there and play
times.
Because you're trying to force him to hang in there and play in the pocket. That's what happens when you make him try to play in the pocket. Stop having him try to play in the pocket. Just go full Project Junior and have him run around out there. It can't be worse than this. He can't do any worse. He's got no protection. He has absolutely no protection back there, and he's turning into a ghost boy, turning into another ghost boy. He's seeing guys coming at him before they even get there. So
you can't say he's soft. I mean, I guess that's one good thing you can say about Daniel Jones, right? He takes it.
He keeps getting up, that's for sure, yeah. And his coach is yelling at him for it. I guess he can't do anything right. He's getting his ass beat, and his coach is mad at him. So, like, what the hell? Yeah, I'm going to concur and take the fish to roll and get revenge for that loss last week to Buffalo. They're probably going to put up another 70. I don't know. I can't take him to lock.
Not
I can't 40, lock him up, though. I don't.
45. I'm thinking 45 in this one.
Right. If they score 5 touchdowns and put up 35, is that a loss? Because that's only half of what they did the last time they were at home. So would that be like an L or something?
Well, I mean, you've got
42,
an over-under
45.
On this game right now at 47.5. So that means the Dolphins are sitting on a, oh, good Lord, 30-point roughly implied total. Yeah, 30-17 would be at about your 47.5. So, yeah, it'll be over that. 47.5.
Okay.
This game goes over, the Dolphins might have 42 of that 47.5. The question is, can the Giants score? And they can.
Right.
The Dolphins' defense has not been their strong point so far this season. It's been that offense.
But if they get 5 or 6 touchdowns, the Giants aren't keeping up with that. They can't. They don't have the ability.
No. Zero chance.
As we agree on that one for sure. On to the Saints and the Patriots. New Orleans at 2-2. New England at 1-3. Derek Carr will try to play through that shoulder injury again, but it didn't look very pretty last week. He will not have tight end Juwan Johnson, who is out with a calf injury. For the Patriots, they get those defensive injuries that you referenced a little bit, Christian Gonzalez with the bad shoulder, and Matthew Judon with the popped elbow. But they will get J.C. Jackson in that trade and probably insert him right in tomorrow. And he'll probably pay great because that's, again, a Bill Belichick classic move. Basically a pick 'em. Saints are +1 at the Patriots.
Yeah, talk about this would be one of my zero confidence games, my confidence pool. This might be the 0 point one because I have no clue what to make so far out of either one of these teams. The Saints have been just kind of fits and starts and sputtering along, and the Patriots and go coach. It's kind of dysfunction junction for those guys right now. I don't like what I'm seeing out of them, but I'm going to go with Goat Coat New England and give the point just to bounce back. Could you imagine those film sessions this week after that romp? This might be the most ready Bill Belichick team we've seen in a long time after that 38-3 just throttling down in Dallas. So if they don't bounce back from this, it's going to be a long season for the New England Patriots.
Yeah. I agree that I don't know which team I'm supposed to have the more confidence in. I don't like Mac Jones necessarily figuring it out against the Saints defense, but I certainly don't like check down king Derek Carr, who just kept throwing to Alvin Kamara over and over again last week because he didn't have the confidence to do anything else.
Receptions for like 30 yards for Alvin Kamara last week. It's one of the most ridiculous stat lines you'll ever see.
Check down, check down, check down, check down. I the Belichick firing rumors that I've heard on a couple of shows
That's
are
crazy.
Really hard to believe. Like they do stink. I understand that, but that's Bill Belichick, man. I can't ever see Robert Kraft doing that.
Let him ride off into the sunset, right?
Right. Even if it's him basically firing him, he's going to go to Belichick and say, you're going to retire. You're going to have a press conference where you announce that you're stepping away.
We're
going
to bump you up to the
away.
Front office, right? We're going
to
announce the move. Yeah.
You're taking an executive role. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to concur. I certainly don't have a lot of confidence in it after what they did in Dallas, but I'm going to concur and take the Patriots because I don't know if Derek Carr can throw the ball any farther downfield than what he did. Ravens and Steelers in AFC North action, always a nice bloody war when these two get together. Ravens are 3-1, Steelers are 2-2. Odell Beckham expects to return from his ankle injury for the Ravens, and Marlon Humphrey expects to make his debut in the defensive backfield, so they're trying to get a little healthier. For the Steelers, they went out at their tight end, Pat Freiermuth. He's got a hammy. And Kenny Smallhands has a gimpy knee. I didn't know if he was going to be able to make it this week, but apparently he's going to be cleared and he's going to go. Ravens are the favorites in this one. They give 4.5 at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the Ravens have been one of those, because we're it's the Bills and it's the Chiefs and all the hoopla around these teams, and nobody is talking about Baltimore 3-1 or Lamar Jackson. Who's starting that offense is starting to round into some shape, and Zay Flowers is making nice plays, and Gus Edwards has filled in admirably since J.K. Dobbins went down. Their defense is playing really well. They just blew the doors off of the team last week. They're playing excellent football, and nobody is talking about the Baltimore Ravens. So it's almost like the perfect spot for them sitting there at 3-1 against Pittsburgh, who, if we talk about the dysfunction junction of the Patriots, the Steelers might be just as awful. They just got absolutely annihilated last week and embarrassed by the Texans. They get to go home. There's some grumbles through that fan base about Kenny Pickett and then about Najee Harris. And, you know, as much as we talk about Bill Belichick and grumblings, and you got Mike Tomlin, they've been grumbling about him for years, and he just keeps chugging. But things are just looking very good. This isn't that Steelers Ravens matchup like we used to have, the one that we yearned for. You know, those Sunday night football Steelers Ravens matchups, the slobber knockers. I think this is a slobber knocker one direction. give me the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't know how much Tomlin is getting right now. There was some event, and it may have been a wrestling match, that I just saw a Fire Canada sign, and I'm like, what's wrong with the country of Canada? Oh, they're talking about the Steelers OC.
Yes, they are.
So he's getting all the blame right now. Matt Canada is getting the and you look at the numbers, and Steelers are averaging 3.6 yards per carry and 6.2 yards per throw, and that is not good. I mean, you look at what the Bengals are doing per yards per throw, and you think 6.2 is pretty damn good, but no, it's really not that good. I don't want any part of Kenny Smallhands right now. I don't want any part of Mitchell Trubisky, who I thought was going to be starting for the Steelers this week, but apparently he's not going to be. I don't think Tomlin wants any part of Mitchell Trubisky. He's going to send Kenny Smallhands out there with a bad knee over Mitchell Trubisky, which says a lot about Mitchell Trubisky. For Baltimore to drop this one, I'm not going to play it right now, but I got Raven Simone queued up next week if they lose this one. I'm gonna concur with you, take Baltimore and lay the 4.5. But if they drop it, Raven will be ready. On to, this is a late action already, Philly and the Rams. Eagles are the perfect four. You talk about almost no one talking about them. What Miami did a couple of weeks ago and then coming back and losing to Buffalo. Now Buffalo, everyone's talking about Buffalo. The Eagles are still undefeated. They're still there. They're 4-0. And the Rams are 2-2. Eagles do not have their veteran D lineman Fletcher Cox. He got a shot in his back, and he's going to take a week off to let that heal up. Of course, everyone knows Cooper Kupp is cleared from IR and ready to make his debut from his knee injury for the Rams. Rams are still the home dogs. Eagles are -4.5 at LA.
Right. So Cooper Kupp slides in. You know, he's the focus point, even if he's on the limited pitch count, right, and snap count. And, boy, but Kupp sliding into that offense just opens up all the – opens up Nacua, it opens up Higby, opens up Kyren Williams, starts to sort of unlock Sean McVay and his evil geniusness on the offensive side of the ball. So I'm really interested to see – especially after all the success that they've had early in the season here with Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua and what adding Kupp does to the opposing defense. And on the other side, you've got Philly. They got taken all the way to the wire by Sam Howell and the Washington team Manderskins last week. Blew my lock for me. Taken to overtime. It kind of a gutty performance for Washington, but kind of highlights that the Eagles, although they're 4-0, they haven't been like, they haven't looked like the Eagles yet, right? They haven't had that game. They do the tush-push. They do that great. You need 1 yard. There's no better team in football to get 1 yard, but I still am waiting for that from them, like that wow game, and we just haven't seen it yet. On the road against the Rams, Sean McVay is going to work that offense. I'm going to actually take the Rams in this one and the points.
I think they looked like the Eagles in that Monday nighter when they beat up the Buccaneers, and they got my lock for me that week. But you're right.
Yeah, that one they did.
But you're right. The other games, they looked high, but yeah, they look like they're ramping up to sort of being what they were last year, maybe in the second half of the year. Yeah, you let Sam Howell come, you know, give you a game last week. So this is a real good test for them, that Rams offense. And they got a rebound now against Matthew Stafford, who's been really good before Cooper Kupp. It is shocking to see that the number two pass offense in football belongs to the Los Angeles Rams. It's like, really? Those guys?
Yeah. We've
never seen that coming. I concur. I will take the Rams and the points against the Eagles. That was one of those surprises I thought I might get over you, but no, we're both going with L.A.
All right.
Let's see what happens in this one. Bengals-Cardinals.
I love L.A. There you go.
Cincy and Arizona are both 1-3, and they'll get it on down in the desert. As I mentioned, T. Higgins will be down with the cracked rib that he's got. They'll get tight end Irv Smith back from a hamstring injury, and they need the tight ends because apparently that's about all that Joe Burrow can throw to right now. He's not going deep at all. I still can't believe I'm looking at 4.8 yards per throw on the season for the Bengals. That is absolutely
man.
I'm just gobsmacked at that.
I wonder what their ADOT, what's Joe Burrow's ADOT right now? It's just got to be atrocious.
Got to be Drew Brees territory, yeah. And despite all that, the Bengals are still the favorite. They are -3 at Arizona.
I'm not buying it. I'm taking the Cardinals here. This has been this team has legitimate fight. They don't have a ton of talent, but they've got like something about them, right? Where they're that bad team that just hasn't gotten the memo yet. And if you're looking for something on paper or something in the matchups, Cincinnati, absolutely atrocious against the run. I think James Conner, baby Terminator, goes absolutely insane in this game. They have no problem using him. That offense has been okay with Josh Dobbs, and he will also put the ball down and run too. I think Arizona actually bullies up Cincinnati here and wins the game.
Yeah, you're talking about the Cardinals are averaging 5.3 yards per game. Not per game, but per
5.3 yards per game. I'm changing my picks.
They suck. They're awful. 5.3 yards per carry on the season.
Better than Joe Burrow attempts per throw.
Right. How about that? And you compare that to Cincinnati's run D averaging 5.1 yards per carry. That's what they're giving up right now. So, yeah, on paper, it seems to be a perfect matchup for the Cardinals to exercise and take advantage. So what's the deal with the Bengals? Did they steal their one win with Gimpy Joe, that one victory that they got? Or will he start getting better versus, the Cardinals? Will this be the game where he sort of, okay, let me get back on track and figure things out and get back to doing what I need to do? He's got Jamar Chase mad at him. I'm fearful of Joe and Jamar not getting on the same page and continuing all of that. I'm also fearful of them sort of reestablishing themselves because they really do have that kind of chemistry. But I don't have any confidence that Joe Burrow is physically going to allow that to happen. Not yet. Not until I see some sign of it. So that the Cardinals have a lot of fight and you think you got a lot of confidence in the Cardinals. That's my lock. The Arizona Cardinals, the fighting Cardinals, the team that no one thought was going to compete, the team that everyone said was number 32 when the season started. And they do have a lot of fight.
Taken for Caleb, right?
Exactly. They're not the organization might be tanking, but the players are not. So I will take the Cardinals along with you, and that is my lock of the week.
Wow, you get one up on me, man. You start feeling it.
That's right. I'm playing with house money. On to the Jets and the Broncos. Both teams 1-3. Both teams struggling. Two cornerbacks are out for the Jets. For the Broncos, Jaleel McLaughlin looks to be the lead running back. Javonte Williams has a knee hip issue, so even if he plays, he's not going to do very much tomorrow. In this one, the Jets are the dogs. They are plus 2.5 at the Broncos.
This is the game, right? I mean, this is the Sean Payton called out the Jets coach, told him that he was the worst coach basically of all time in the offseason, goes out, gets a 70 hung up on him against the Dolphins, has to have a miracle comeback against what at that point looked like one of the worst teams in football. Bears redeemed themselves a little bit on Thursday night in the Bears, but that's their only win. The Jets, they only have one win, but they've at least acquitted themselves admirably, and now they're playing against the team who made it personal. Aaron Rodgers was taking exception, defended Nathaniel Hackett. Nathaniel Hackett, I know, took exception. Robert Saleh took exception. I almost locked this one up. I'm taking the Jets just straight up to win this game. This one's been circled on their calendar for a while. They might not score much, but that defense is going to put the screws to Russell Wilson. I'm taking the Jets here on the road to win.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth!
Okay, all right. We get it, Aaron. Jesus. Just don't give up 70, right? That's the big deal for Sean Payton this week, is don't give up 70 to these guys, because you really will never hear the end of it. I don't know how decent Zach Wilson looked. He was getting a little bit of praise for he had some good throws against Kansas City. Some people were acting like, this is a big turning
though,
point.
Wasn't it?
It's the Jets. It's New York, so some people are going to act like it's the great turnaround is coming. No, I don't buy it. I can't trust it. I don't trust Zach Wilson. I don't trust the Jets. Again, no matter what their defense does, eventually, the offense has to take the field, and Zach Wilson will just torpedo whatever good they do. So I'm going to take Denver and give the 2.5. I don't you know, obviously don't have a whole lot of confidence in Russ and Broncos country, let's ride. But I think they're going to come out for this one. I think they got to back up their coach and his big mouth. Even if they don't want to, they know they got to back it up for him. They really don't want to hear it if they find a way to lose to this team and that coordinator. So I think the Broncos will buck up for one game and play for Sean Payton. Chiefs and Vikings, speaking of Kansas City, they're 3-1. The Vikings are 1-3. And the Chiefs might get their top tackler, Nick Bolton, back from his ankle injury tomorrow. Chiefs are the road favorites, laying 3.5 at the Vikings.
Oh, boy. Well, hey, are we going to get more Taylor Swift? Now we can get it at the 3:30 time slot in Minnesota.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Great. Yay.
Everybody gets a piece of Taylor.
Oh, man. Every network, we can get this. What is it, CBS? This is going to be the CBS. Who cares who has this game? Oh, good Lord. See how many times they cut to that while I'm watching Red Zone tomorrow. But on the field, I really swallowed hard on this one and gulped when I took the Vikings and the points. I feel like they are going to score and hang here offensively with Kansas City. This game feels like it's got some wild shootout potential, especially with Minnesota at home. You know, the Chiefs have been more impressive defensively than offensively so far. I think outside of Mahomes and Kelsey, maybe Pacheco, they're pretty limited at the playmaker positions. Their receiving core has been meh or mid or whatever you want to call it. They haven't been or bad. They haven't been very good between Sky Moore and Justin Watson and Rishi. It's a whole bunch of dudes. It's Travis Kelsey and guys. I could see this being the Justin Jefferson show. We saw him put his team on his back a few times last year against excellent opposition and ride that team to victory and some big comebacks. So I'm going to take the Vikings and the points here. Love the hook.
Definitely love the points. Love the over in this one. Whatever the number is, go ahead and take the
53.
Over.
53.
Yeah. Yep. I'll take that. And so I'm a little fearful of the whole T-Swift thing becoming a bit of a distraction.
Yoko Ono.
Stop. Don't wish that on him. Heard that a little bit about the fact that Travis Kelce didn't have a very good game last week, because now I'm hoping that it's not going to result in Pat sort of forcing the ball to Kelce. At the same time, they've won a lot of games over the years where Pat has to force the ball to Kelce because he's the only real option on the team, because as you correctly said, that receiving core is basically Travis Kelce and some dudes. So it might actually work out doing it where they have to force it to Kelce just to make sure that him and his girl are happy. I think Kelce's targets overall will have more chances versus a bad Minnesota defense. I think I'm going to take the Chiefs and give the 3.5, because even if it's close late with all the points being scored, I certainly trust Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and dudes to get it done over Kirk Cousins and his core, because Cousins just loves to make the last second mistake and interception and find a way to lose the game. So I will take KC and give the 3.5. If they win by 3, I actually wouldn't be surprised necessarily, but I'll give the 3 in the hook anyway. On Sunday night, the Cowboys and the Niners in the game of the week, Dallas 3-1 and San Fran undefeated at 4-0. It feels like there's like one undefeated team in the league, and it's the Niners. It feels like no one's talking about the Eagles at all. So we'll see the Niners get their big test against the Cowboys, who get some offensive linemen back that have been hurt. So they're going to be intact, it looks like, tomorrow night. So that should be help out their cause. And the Niners will not have their backup running back, Eli Mitchell, who hurt his knee. In this one, the Cowboys are the dogs. They get 3 and a hook at the 49ers.
Yeah, Cowboys get right last week against the Patriots, and then you've got the Niners just taking care of business, right? That could be their theme song.
Taking care of business.
That's right. Every game. Every game, taking care of business and just getting the job done, and they show up. The Cowboys like to think they're in this class, and we've talked about this. They're not in this class. I think this has got some sunning potential to it. You know, we can call this a battle of the juggernauts. Unfortunately, one of these teams is a juggernaut, and the other one's a juggernaut. And I'm going to take the Niners and give the 3.5. This number feels low for some reason.
Hey!
This number feels like trappish almost. Like, man, they're enticing me to take the Niners here. I don't think this game's going to be close.
It's the Cowboys, so I think that's a function of how many Cowboy fans are out there and they're going to throw money on the Cowboys, especially when they're underdogs like this, because they think, oh, this is the time. This is when they're going to rise up and show everybody. Go Cowboys. Here we go. So I understand the number. Is it fair? No, San Fran's probably should be about 6-7 point favorite. And even if Dallas does give San Fran a game, they're still not on San Fran's level. Like we know they're not on that level, but they, you know, their fans think they're on that level, but they're not. They got the, you know, twin defeats at the hands of the Niners the last couple of playoffs. One was down in Texas when Dak decided to take off running, even though he had no timeouts left. And then last year, in San Fran, they go out there and get beat. It's all about the coaching and the quarterback play and the decision making. The coaching is Kyle Shanahan versus Mike McCarthy. That's clearly on the level of San Fran. The quarterbacks are Dak and Brock Purdy, which should be a mismatch in favor of Dak, except when you talk about decision making, Dak finds a way to make those wrong decisions, and Brock Purdy, so far in his short career, just doesn't do that. He always seems to make the right choices. And again, the Niners and all the weapons that you talked about, they just have so many that they can go around to. Will this be the, if Debo isn't healthy, will this be the another McCaffrey game? Will this be the George Kittle game? Will this be the Brandon Ayuk game? You just never know.
It's like spin the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Spin the wheel, make the deal. You just never know who's going to be the man this time. So, yeah, the mad genius, the evil genius, Kyle Shanahan, what he will come up with for the Cowboys. We don't know. Maybe he doesn't know yet, but we'll all find out tomorrow night. The last time Dallas got on a plane and went out west, just this season, the Arizona Cardinals kicked their ass. The Niners are definitely on a higher level than the Cardinals. Whatever did you think of the Cardinals, the Niners are way, way better. I still think Dallas can be manhandled running the ball down their throats. 49ers are number 3 in rushing offense this season. So this might be another Christian McCaffrey games. They might run for another .170, .180. However they do it, they're going to do it. They're going to cover the 3.5. I definitely agree. And I will take the 49ers. And on Monday Night Football, it'll be the Packers versus the Raiders. Green Bay is 2-2. Las Vegas is 1-3. Packers finally gave up on the David Bakhtiari deal, whatever that was, where he wasn't playing on turf, but he was trying to play on grass. He's just going to have knee surgery and be done for the year, and that whole thing is over with. For the Raiders, Jimmy G returns from being dumplings to get back under center for Las Vegas. They are the home favorite. They lay 2.5 versus the Pack.
Yeah, question with Jimmy G coming back is, can the Packers stop Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers? Because those are the only two guys he throws the ball to. Their target share between the two of them is like 70% with Jimmy G back there. And then can the Packers stop Josh Jacobs? How effective can the Packers move the ball? Because they've been, I guess, offensively, but not very efficient. So I think there's more trouble with the Packers. Offensive line's banged up. They're getting nothing from the running game. Aaron Jones hasn't been the same since he came back from injury, and A.J. Dillon is a ghost. So I'm going to take the Raiders and give the points.
I'm very concerned and disappointed for both of these teams running attacks, because they should both be relying on Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs, and they're both terrible this year. Green Bay is 30th. In the league in running, 30th. And the Raiders said, oh, yeah, hold my beer. They are DFL. The Las Vegas Raiders are dead fucking last in running the ball this year. And I don't know what's wrong with either one of those guys, but they got to get it together. And they got run defenses they can both get it together against. The Packers and the Raiders can give up some run yardage. So this is a tough one for me. We'll see. Jordan Love, after the Detroit disaster on Thursday night, got several days to think about it, 10 days to think about it. Now he has to come back to face Max Crosby. Good luck with that. And even with that, I'm taking the Packers because I don't know how healthy Jimmy G is coming off the concussion. I don't know if I trust him necessarily. And it just kind of feels like one of those games where the Pack makes the big defensive play at the end and you don't see it coming. And could sort of sneak out a victory. So I definitely don't have a whole lot of confidence in it, but I will take Green Bay and the 2.5 points. Maybe they'll lose by two. So that's it for week five. How many is that before we go off the air?
It's more than last week. Maybe, I'm going to say six.
Yeah, definitely more than the two last week. Looks like three, four, looks like five.
Okay, and that's a smaller slate. We got one less game, right?
Right. Two less games this week.
Two less games, yeah.
Right. More on our after show when we come back. And now into our VIP after show program. Yes, I'm glad we disagreed on more than two because that was crazy last week.
That was.
We got to five, so that's more like it.
But I got to sweep you.
Got to sweep all two.
All two. Hey, I was sweating that one out. I was sweating those two out.
Oh, man. I looked at this. I didn't know what happened in the Chargers-Raiders game, but I looked at the score, and I'm like, oh, of course. Of course they won by seven. Naturally.
Yeah, was it because it was a 6.5-point spread?
Six. Yep.
Six. Yeah. That's the Chargers. It's the Clipper Chargers for you. Even when they win, they don't look good right now.
Right.
Those two wins of theirs, not the most impressive.
Well, their coach is insane right now. He's just.
Are you turning around on him?
I'm just confused because he started the season seemingly a lot more conservative. Like, I believe that he won the surprise award for me for week one because he had something on the other side of the field. He had the ball on the other side, on the opponent's side, and punted on fourth down. And I was like, what? Him? Really? So I thought he was sort of, you know, turning around and trying to not play as good. And now he goes, the last couple of weeks, he goes right back to old Brandon Staley and starts going for him in his own territory again. I'm like, oh, what are you doing, kid? What?
Yeah.
He seems to be
having
a crisis
right
now.
He just can't escape himself.
Right. He's just having a personality crisis. But you know what? At least he's not yelling at his own quarterback. He's not firing tablets at him. He's not pulling his hair out. Some of the looks that Robert Saleh gives Zach Wilson sometimes. So it could be worse. It could be a lot worse.
Yeah, they are one of the teams that are off this week.
That they are, along with the Browns and the Seahawks and the Buccaneers.
Yeah. So, yeah, should make for at least a more compelling week of watching football. With us disagreeing on more games gives me a better reason to watch than just, I'm just watching football, but, you know, fantasy and, you know, trying to make some money off of this thing, too.
Yeah, do you have any DFS plays that you like early on before you get into it tomorrow morning?
For this week, I'm trying to think what, like, because usually it's what stacks do you build around, right?
Yep.
And let me see here. Let me look at my upcoming, my lineups. I've got a Dolphins lineup, which I'm sure is going to be very chalky.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Cousins and Jefferson.
We both like the KC Minnesota over, so but those would be expensive too.
Right, and I've actually got a lineup for both sides of that game. I've got Cousins and Jefferson with and a bunch of fill-in, and then I've also got the other side where I've got Mahomes and Kelsey.
Okay.
And I threw in Rishi Rice because he's so cheap.
Yeah.
And just went with guys there. And then I've got a Colts stack this week.
Okay.
You know, so I've got both sides of that game where I've got a lot of players. I think that Colts Titans game might be one of those wild Colts. I mean, we've had some wild Colts Titans games, right?
Sure.
So yeah, I've got Anthony Richardson, with Michael Pittman, and then I've got Derrick Henry and my boy Chig on the other side.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about Chig in a while because he's been sort of disappointing this year. Hasn't done much.
For the tight end has been a rough position.
In my
Miami lineup, I my favorite tight end play this week, I've got Sam Laporta, who's been a dude. He's been a dude. Mm-hmm. And with Amon-Ra St. Brown out.
Right.
Yeah, we were talking about where are those targets going to go, right? Is it Khalif Raymond or, it's going to be Sam Laporta.
Yeah, he's and I'm sure he's going to be popular too.
Yeah. No, I would expect so. I mean, the sharp players, anyway, the people who pay attention anyways, you know. But I avoided Hockenson in my Vikings lineup, and he'll probably bite me in the ass for that, but I just didn't have the funds to put him in there. So I've got Zach Ertz manning down the tight end position. I've actually got him and James Conner in that lineup for Arizona.
Ah, there you go.
So I've got that Cousins and Jefferson stack, and then, you know, sometimes it's the other pieces that you fill in, your one-off pieces that really make or break you.
Oh, as we know, it's always the ones that you don't see coming.
Yeah, so usually I'll throw a lineup a day in there. Probably you'll make one more stack tomorrow. I haven't decided which game I want to stack up yet. You know, get creative. You could do a low price stack because there's like the Jets stack is super cheap. You know, if you just, you'll put Zach Wilson and Garrett Wilson in there. And I do want to put Garrett Wilson in one of my lineups because Denver is just giving up the deep ball like ridiculously. So is Washington, by the way. If you want to play a top receivers, apparently Washington's the team to play against because, I mean, after what DJ Moore did on.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he had that phantom step out of bounds. We still don't know if he stepped out of bounds or not.
No, we know. He didn't step out.
He didn't step out.
Clearly. Every replay they showed, he never stepped out. I don't know what the ref was looking at.
There's some more ref shenanigans. Didn't matter, but
no,
definitely robbed him of another 40 yards.
Tight end has been so crazy. Of course, I have... got rid of Chig because he hasn't done anything.
No, he hasn't. But, you know, tight ends are the trouble with tight ends is you're going to get that one game where somebody blows up for two touchdowns. You're going to get that Dawson Knox game, right, where he blows up for three touchdowns, and then you don't see him again for the rest of the season.
Right. I guess I made the right decision Thursday night, but it could have gone the other way. Both those tight ends were available Thursday night.
Kmet and Logan Thomas?
We're both on the waiver wire, and I chose they both score touchdowns, so I couldn't have lost either way, but I chose Logan Thomas. So they both scored. I think Logan had more yardage, so
good.
Very slightly more points, although he did have a fumble too.
Yeah.
But either way, I'm very happy to be done with that decision this week. Don't have to worry about it. Don't have to scour the wire. So I might win a game this week. But you know what?
That just gets you back, right? And the good news was he caught a touchdown and didn't get KTFO'd in the process.
Right. Because you know who I had at tight end the week before that? Whoever that idiot was for the Packers that caught one pass and got knocked out of the game. So.
Oh. Was that Musgrave?
So there's another way I could have won that game last week, even with the defensive garbage. It's been a tough year. But I'm happy because I just looked up the college scores and I saw that the Colorado Buffaloes pulled out a late victory, got a late field goal. So no matter what happens in fantasy tomorrow, I'm having a good weekend. It's all good.
You won some money?
Oh, yeah. Big win tonight. So, very happy about that. Didn't have a game to work this weekend. So, you know, Tigers are off. So.
Okay.
That's why I was sitting here today watching some college football and decided to lay down a little parlay, and everything worked out for me. So made some money even though I wasn't working. Can't do any better than that.
No, that is good. I'm still waiting for that legalized online sports gambling to hit Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a post on the X Twitter.
Yeah.
And somebody posted their parlay from Thursday night. and it was insane because it was Bears money line, right?
Yep.
It was Fields over yardage, which was like 180. He went way over.
Okay. I actually forgot. I had a single game parlay Thursday and made money on that too. It wasn't as much as tonight, but yeah.
It was DJ Moore over yardage. It was like over 55.
I didn't have DJ Moore. That one I didn't.
And it was DJ Moore over 1.5 touchdowns.
Oh, wow. Okay.
His $20 bet paid $2,500.
God damn.
So if you were just Bears homer that game and you just went Fields Moore stack and you had a feeling, but again, against the Washington's defense has been getting torched deep all year. I mean, look at what Marvin Mims did to them. So, so yeah, you can burn the Washington team Manderskins deep, and you want to build some stacks in fantasy or in some parlays against that defense. It's not an unwise move. But yeah, $20 bet won that guy $2,500.
No, I had a single game parlay as well because both those defenses can be burned.
Yeah, would you go over? I'm sure you had the over.
You're absolutely right. That was part of it. Was the over? I'm going back now on my account to see exactly what it was. Over 48.5. I think that was an alternative number that I took because the actual number I don't think it was 48.5, but that's just what I took. So I had that. I had Jahan Dotson over 29.5 yards. I had Terry McLaurin over 44.5 yards, and I had Justin Fields over 34 rushing yards.
Yeah,
and that is.
Yeah, pretty. That had to have a pretty reasonable payout. I mean, or odds on it.
4-1. Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't 100-1.
No, plus 400 when you totaled all that up. So
still not bad.
Yeah, very, very much. It can be rough the sports gambling, obviously, but I think. The reason I'm in a pretty good groove right now is because there's more alternative bets that you can make on a game than there used to be back when I was first starting the sports gamble 20 years ago. Like you could, if you thought a game, just for an example, a football game had a over under of like 45 and you thought that was crazy, it should be way higher, like 55. You didn't have the ability to go in and look for an alternative like 53 or something and take that, which gives you better odds. And now you can do that. So you've got that. You've got the single game parlay aspect of it, which didn't exist back then either. You can take these. You notice the game result wasn't in there at all, that parlay that I played. I didn't want to touch Bears plus 6. I didn't have that much confidence in it. I didn't want to touch Washington straight because I didn't have confidence in that at all. So I didn't have to bother with the game result. I just knew it was going to go over because both defenses sucked. And I took all those individual stats. So there's those things, and there's the ability to find better lines like for baseball. Like I had a lot of success this summer with baseball because I was taking favorites like -3.5 and -4.5 and stuff. Because I didn't have to just take them -300 straight up or something. I don't know if I'll ever do that again because there's just too much. Risk involved. There's too much. It's baseball. Huge favorites lose all the time. So there's no. Why would I, lay -300 on anybody? If anything, I'm going to take that favorite and go, -2.5, -3.5 runs, and then I can only lay -100, maybe make money, +120, something like that. So there's a lot more alternatives out there for gambling purposes. So it's a lot more varieties. There's so many ways to make money. So many more than there used to be. And there's got to be more variety. It's got to be the reason that I'm doing better. Because it's not like I'm any smarter. Believe me, I'm not.
Well, no, it's just, plus it's not just about picking winners and losers all the time, right? Sometimes you're just betting on – you can find one game that you just really got a good sense of and, you've got that game script figured out and you just know, this is a great, we were talking about, Washington against the deep ball. They suck. So let's just pile some money on those outcomes and, see if I can cash in on that where you can, or we could say, hey, tomorrow, you know, Atlanta and Houston, right? You probably are going to love some of those Houston passing options. And you might love some of those Atlanta running options, and you could parlay the heck out of that probably into some really nice money.
Sure. That's just one example. Yeah.
Yeah, this is one example right there, right? Or, oh, man, you know, do you really want to lay some unders on the Broncos offense tomorrow because you think the Jets are going to be fired up, right?
Yeah, I'm looking down the list now at the teams that I actually think are going to really struggle and be struggling offensively. I don't see the Saints scoring a lot of points. I don't see the Steelers scoring a lot of points.
You might be able to under every Giants receiver tomorrow. Not Darren Waller.
Right.
Or Matt Breida, but you might be able to under Hodgins and, you know, the only one you might want to over is like Wandale, because he's actually looked good since he came back.
Is Slayton still there even? I don't even know if he's still around.
He's a ghost.
He's disappeared.
Yeah, the only receiver that Daniel Jones seems to have any trust in these last two games at the wide receiver position has been Wandale Robinson. That's it.
Right. Yeah, but he doesn't have time to look for anyone else, right?
Well, and the hilarious thing is I actually have a lot of Wandale Robinson in my DFS lineups because he's minimum salary.
Ah.
So I don't know if that was a glitch or a feature. I really don't know.
You think it's a bug, but it might be on purpose.
Maybe it's just that bad. No, I mean, you got to figure they're going to be throwing against that in that game, right? Because they're going to be, I mean, they're going to they're going to get run out of the building.
That's my problem with Dable. They're always trying to throw, and I don't think they should be. Why?
Just let Daniel Jones get destroyed. If he doesn't get destroyed behind the line of scrimmage, at least get him to get destroyed a few yards down the field, pick up a few yards.
Well, I'm just saying it's clearly not working dropping him back and having him stand there in the pocket and get destroyed. So
yeah,
try something
else. You'd
rather
have safeties taking shots at him than D linemen.
I don't understand. Well,
no, the Giants are a mess. There's some teams this year that are absolute messes right now.
Yeah, and I'm not the coach, so obviously they know more about strategy than I do, right?
So, and I don't want to point this out to you, but if the Titans win like you said they will, and the Jags lose to Buffalo, Titans will be in first place.
See, I'm not doing first place after week five stuff either.
I'm just doing it because I picked it.
Okay. But I'm not doing MVP after week four.
No.
I'm not doing first place after week five. I'm not looking at any of that stuff.
Well, yeah, because you can say, oh, the Bears are 1-4 now or whatever the hell they are. And, you know, most of the rest of the division's only two games clear of them. It's like, whoa, they're right.
Oh, they got a chance. No, they really don't. No, they don't, unfortunately.
The Packers lose on Monday night. Bears are only one game behind the Packers.
Win it for Butka. No.
Butka. At least nobody called him, like, Bubkus.
Dick Bubkus. Someone probably did at some point, yeah. So, anything else on tap for week five that we want to get to? Anything about week four that we didn't get around to?
I'm looking... You know, because we really hammered a lot of the similar games, but there were so many, like I talked about, there were so many blowouts that it was just, you know, not fun. I mean, Tampa got, they bounced back nice, right, after that loss against Philly. So they've proven to be pretty resilient. So, hey, you know, the Baker Mayfield experiment lives another week and looks okay.
Well,
they're in first place right now.
Oh, there we go again. First place.
First place.
Four. That was I've wrote down maybe Derek Carr should have let Jameis Winston take the rock because that was because Carr completed 23 passes for 127 yards.
That's some Joe Burrow.
Work
right there.
3.4 yards per pass attempt in that game. That was like as a run average. That was his passing average in that game. So yeah, Tampa had they topped New Orleans as well they should have.
Alvin Kamara, 13 receptions for 33 yards. That just makes you ill. I mean, that's great for fantasy, right? Your PPR, but
that's all you're getting.
Oof.
That's no all you're getting for the points per reception.
Right. You got you got 13 points in receptions and 3 points in yards.
That was pretty bad, and Carolina was so bad that they got a gift pick six from Kirk Cousins and still lost.
And the Vikings covered.
Right.
Now that was another one that was in doubt. Because the Vikings did not exactly, blow those guys away.
No. They got a gift fumble from Bryce Young for a touchdown.
One of those 100-yard pick sixes?
Yeah, 97 yards, something like
that.
Yeah,
it was
right
ugly.
Right there at the doorstep. And, oh, no, going the other way.
And they still usually you get something like that that's, so soul-crushing like that, and that could really set you back. But, no, Carolina's offense is really bad. Why did I pick them? Oh, well. I think it's just that gut feeling of taking the Lions as almost 10-point favorites.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I know why I took Carolina. Like I said, Detroit relies so much on Amon-Ra St. Brown's production. If he's not going to be there, I don't know. I don't feel so good about the Lions' chances.
I get that, and you got to start spreading that around in different ways. And Bryce Young hasn't looked very good so far.
No. No, his whole career is struggling so far.
Right.
The number one pick.
Their best player on offense right now.
Struggling.
Adam Thielen is their best player offensively.
Yeah. And how long is that going to last?
Until he gets hurt. He's a veteran guy. He's wily, right? He's a wily veteran. Could probably sneak himself open.
Yeah, but you don't want to rely on that. You do want something other than that. They do need a number one receiver, but they need a lot more than that. That's why I'm laughing at them trying to trade for a top receiver, because that's not all you need. You need a lot more, lot more.
I will say a positive for the Vikings was the signing of Cam Akers seems to have woken up Alexander Mattison.
Well, that's good. Something had to
wake him up. He had himself a nice game on the ground, 5.6 mm-hmm. yards per attempt.
Well, we
way
said it
better than his usual.
We said it when they acquired him. This is Madison's last chance to to show something and give him a reason to keep him in there, because we knew Cam Akers was coming. So,
well, my favorite stat I saw.
Got the memo.
My favorite Cam Akers stat that I saw this week was because everyone was like, "Oh, he had 5 rushes for 40 yards, right? Wow." That's 8 yards per attempt. That's 8 times more than his average. Until I looked at the stats, and then you realize he had 0 of those yards after contact.
Oh.
So basically, he was running through big holes, and as soon as somebody puts a hat on him, down.
Boom, down.
Yep.
Well, that part we're familiar with. The immediately down after you get touched. That part of his game we're familiar with.
Not much yak, yards after contact there.
No, but that's not his game. We know.
Absolutely not.
And just to go on to your point about the Ravens not getting that very, very much attention, very much love. We talked about them handling the Cleveland Browns easily.
Yeah.
I wrote this down, but I didn't mention it during the show. It's the first time Lamar Jackson ever threw 2 touchdowns and ran for 2 touchdowns in the same game. That's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
You think about all the success he's had. That's
is.
The first time it's ever happened.
And had the Bears not collapsed the way they did, it might have been worst of the week going to, and I hate to pick on rookies, but Dorian Thompson Robinson, DTR. My God.
Well,
121 yards on 36 attempts. That Joe Burrow is better than that. no touchdowns and 3 picks. It was bad.
He wasn't ready for that start. So they're not always ready when you give them
your first start against the Ravens. Probably not what you were hoping for.
No. Back to the drawing board for him.
Which just goes to tell you that being the, being a preseason star doesn't always translate into success.
Right. Usually it doesn't. We laugh at that. Most of the preseason stars don't ever do anything, right?
Right. They don't all turn into Dak. We can make fun of Dak and Dak time, but he's been a successful player.
Sure. Is he the great superstar that the Cowboys claim him to be? No, but he's all right.
Well, he's not doing the chunky commercial ads anymore. Now it's Travis Kelce. If you haven't had enough,
right. He's everywhere. He's doing the vaccine ads now. He's doing the flu shot ads. He's doing it all now. I'm sure all of that was in the works before Taylor Swift came along, but
yep.
If you're sick of them, too bad, because you're just going to see more and more of them.
It's another one of the memes I saw on the X Twitter in the last couple of weeks. It was a picture from the back of in uniform, and it was DeAndre Swift standing next to the other Kelce, and it basically said, and it showed the names on the back, so it said Swift and Kelce, and then it said, I would have thought these two dating would have been a bigger news story.
It would be if it was those two. It'd be a major story.
But yeah, if you watch TV now, oh man, it's Travis Kelce and his brother are everywhere.
Oh yeah.
It is just, we are being force-fed. It's like, well, Brady's gone, so now we got to force-feed you Mahomes and Kelce and Taylor Swift and, oh, man.
Well, did you see the other meme of the Eagles player names back-to-back?
Uh-oh.
Of Kelce and then DeAndre Swift on the end with Jalen Hurts in the middle? That's right.
Is that a real one?
Well, I don't know, but they're on the same team, so they could have potentially been standing back to back, but it probably was just put together by somebody.
Right.
But it's still funny.
But which one was doing the hurting?
Well, Kelce was first, so Kelce hurts.
Swift, Kelce so, hurts
apparently.
evidently, that could turn around the other way. Yoko Ono.
Oh, no. Stop. Oh, I'm wishing that on them. That's terrible.
I'm just wishing on it for entertainment value.
I know.
So now.
No team deserves to have a Yoko Ono situation.
So we are, we Saturday again next week?
That
is the 14th.
I think. Yeah, I'm doing a game Friday night, so it would have to be either Saturday night or Sunday morning.
Nope, Saturday works.
Okay.
It's the week after that gets to be.
Yeah, that's when it starts getting
really interesting, because we start heading out Friday night. So once we leave Friday night, we are pretty much on the road, and we're not anywhere. We don't even get to our final destination until Sunday evening. So. It makes it hard to do a show.
Yeah, we were discussing before the season began. It looks like that week would, the only two options really would be either I do it solo with your picks or we do it like Thursday night or something like that.
Yeah, but which we've done. I mean, we've done that. I mean, we've done pick shows during Thursday night football in extreme circumstances before. So
it's an option. We haven't decided, but it's an option.
And then that next week, I haven't decided yet if that's just something where I call in quick on the road somewhere.
So the week after next weekend, when you're heading back
right,
from
that's
vacation.
That's the full week that we're gone, right? And then that weekend we'll be heading back, so we're not getting home until Sunday. So it's a 10-day, the longest vacation we've taken in maybe ever with my family. So it'll be a long one. We're
like
excited.
You said, you guys are looking forward to it. You're in vacation mode already as it is.
I am ready for vacation. he's yawn. Sorry.
it's okay. It's about that time.
I'm ready for vacation.
I was just thinking about how I'm ready for to go up to Chicago for Thanksgiving week because I haven't seen the family in so many years. So I'm definitely looking forward to that.
That's Thanksgiving time.
Mm-hmm. And that whole week, nice. I'll be up in Chicago.
Oh, nice! That'll be fun for you.
Oh, yeah. And hopefully I can keep working these games and keep winning these bets and have some extra change when I go up there for fork change.
Yeah, I'd like to hit a nice, you know, nice big DFS chunk tomorrow. My last 2 weeks have been really bad. So those have actually hit me, my wallet, not my wallet, you know, but my DraftKings bank. I'm still on my original deposit from last year, so it's not costing me anything yet other than my initial deposit. But where I was to where I am now, the last couple of weeks have definitely moved me down some. I did manage to win 75 cents on Thursday night.
Better than losing.
My $6 worth of lineups netted me $6.75.
There you go. Better than losing money. I got my money from finishing second in the fantasy baseball league too. So, I finished second by 1.5 points. I was so close to winning that league.
Oh,
I was right there. I was making moves all the way to the last day of the season. I was trying like hell to catch this guy, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Couldn't catch
it. Well, we managed to finish sixth in our money league, so.
Okay, well, that's good for second in the Ultra Draft, right?
Number two pick in the Ultra Draft, and we're sitting on the number one prospect in baseball thanks to a trade. So you can't ask for much better than that, because we're sitting on the number two Ultra pick, and we have Jackson Holliday right now.
Hey, playing for the future. I'm sure
that's
you'll be
right.
getting trade offers for him till the cows come home.
Only if we're doing well. That becomes a really nice trade piece if we're winning or we're in, you know, or we're in the hunt. But you know, obviously, if you're in dump mode, you're not trading that guy.
No, certainly not. But
that was a trade we made when we were in 10th place, and the team that I traded him to was in second. They ended up finishing third, and we moved all the way up to sixth. And at one point, we were only 2 points out of the money before our entire team went on the DL with 2 weeks to go in the season.
Jeez.
It was absolutely nuts. We had five players in the last 2 to 3 weeks of the season go on the IL.
Yeah, I had something similar.
Why did they? Did we ever get a full official reason why they changed it from DL to IL? Was disabled list insulting to somebody or?
Yeah, I don't know if they will come out.
Are they worried about guys going
on
the DL? You know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think they would ever say that publicly, but yeah, I think using the word disabled became something they decided they didn't want any part of that.
It's not like
you
went on the RL.
They definitely can't say that.
Oh, okay.
I think that's probably it. Everything getting a little more politically correct as we go along.
I guess it's one of those. Well, can't call him. He's not disabled.
Right.
That's insulting to disabled people.
Exactly. You can't even call disabled people disabled. They're just differently abled.
Oh well.
Yeah. So that word is going down the tube along with Redskins. Apparently.
I guess so. I guess they got. Did you see they got sued?
The Commanders?
Yeah, some Indian organization. Can I even say that? Native American organization.
Indigenous, yes.
Indigenous organization sued the Team Manderskins that they want to bring back the name.
Oh, please.
I know. I'm just saying. I don't know. And again, I don't know if these were the Daniel Snyder affiliated people. No idea. I'm not that invested in this news story, but I saw that they just got sued. They're in the process of being sued right now because they want to bring the name back.
The name's never coming back, and
no.
The Daniel Snyder affiliated organizations are the only organizations I ever heard of among indigenous people that actually tried to pretend like the name was good or they liked the name. Every other organization is like, no, that's racist and we don't like it. No.
Exactly. Although I'm of the point where if you change a team name, I don't believe that means that you end up predating the team. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't go out there and say Art Monk was a Commander's legend.
Oh, no, I can't do that either. But it is
strange. And I've seen some of that, and I don't like it.
Yeah. I also don't want to go back and talk about Redskin records because it's not the Redskins anymore. So it's one of those weird in-between things where I basically just talk about Washington.
They're the same team.
They're the same team, but when I talk about the 86 champions, I just talk about the Washington team. I don't call them anything.
Oh, okay. You don't even the name.
Washington. They're just, you know, you remember when Washington won the Super Bowl?
But you're not going to say that the Commanders won that Super Bowl.
I definitely am never going to say that.
Or Doug Williams. Doug Williams is a Commander's legend. No, he's not.
Former great Commander Doug Williams. I will definitely never say that. No.
Okay. So you won't use the name that shall not be spoken, but you're not going to go back and call the old team the new name.
No, because that's on the exact same level as if you, whatever the current name of the White Sox Park is, if you were to, I legit don't know what the name is right now. It's not U.S. Cellular anymore. They changed it. Oh, guaranteed
rate? Isn't it Guaranteed Rate Field?
Right. So I would
it's
also,
great.
Right. I will also never say that the 05 White Sox won the championship while playing at Guaranteed Rate Field. That's the exact same thing. Trying to go back and change it.
Right.
It's the same building, but it wasn't named that at the time. So, no, I would never say that. So
no, I mean, that's... it was. And then there's we still just call it Comiskey Park.
Well, that's a whole different thing that I'm just old and I call it what it was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That's different.
Just crotchety and.
Yes. That's
get
off
my lawn. And, yeah.
Yes.
No, I get that. But I've been seeing some of that. I saw that within the last week that somebody was talking about a team, and you know, it could have been like the Indians or was, you know, whether,
yeah, that's another one, right?
Yeah, right. You know, no, the Cubs beat the Indians in the 2016 World Series. They did not beat the Guardians.
They did not beat the Guardians. The Guardians didn't exist then.
No, they beat the Cleveland Indians. I'm okay saying it. It doesn't make me dirty racist because that's what it was.
That's what they were.
Right. We're not going to go back and CGI alter every copy of Major League, you know?
That would be hilarious.
If they think of this as a special edition, George
Lucas
puts his hands on it, and now everybody's got Guardians outfits on.
I'm definitely a progress. I guess I'm a progressive person. I like to see things progress in society, but I'm not on that level. Like there are some people that would want to legitimately go back and change Major League and edit Indians out of that.
Oh, sure.
And permanently. And
or you have the ultimate extreme, the people who would legitimately want you to just, like, ban the movie.
Oh, right. Just don't ever show the movie again because it happens
to
have Indians in it.
Just completely memory hole
the
movie because we can't have we can't see Chief Wahoo. Someone's going to get triggered.
Right. No, if we can still show Birth of a Nation, we can still show Major League. It's okay.
Yeah, we could put the context warning on it or something, right? Well, trigger warning.
It'll be all right. Everyone will live.
Well, there you go. There's our get off my lawn, yet slightly somewhat progressive slant on things because nothing is just black and white.
No. Everything has levels to it.
Everything is gray. If you can operate in the gray, you know, see things for what they are. You not just be like, one side's always right, one side's always wrong. This is the way it's got to be. No. No, most of the people in this country have, you know, views that go both ways there.
Right. Well, yeah, we're just making fun of the ones that don't see things like that.
The rigid, you know, it's all one or it's all in or all out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But no, the 03 Cleveland baseball team or 97 or whatever in the World Series, that was not the Guardians. That will never be the Guardians.
Right.
I'm sorry for those who have a problem with that, but that's just not reality. Sorry.
Right. And even for teams that just change their names, legitimately change their names, right? You know, and it's happened. Like the Cubs weren't always the Cubs. I think the Cubs were the White Stockings when they –
oh, yeah.
Started.
Yeah.
You know, and if there was somebody who held a record, we wouldn't say the Cubs. They would say it was the such and such White Stockings, you know, who became the Cubs.
Yeah, the Cleveland Spiders are the all-time worst baseball team ever. It wasn't the Cleveland Indians or the Guardians. It was the Spiders.
Yeah.
That's who did it.
So, or then you can get the confusing ones, like with the Browns and
who were the Ravens, Texans, who are now the Browns,
right? And the Oilers who moved, and now you've got Oilers records that are associated with the Titans, but now there's a team back in Houston, and it's almost like they tried to claim both, and it's like, no, all right, you guys got to stop.
Yeah.
First of all,
out of my pay grade.
When Houston renamed, when they got the Texans, they should have just been the Oilers.
Like the Browns when they became the Browns again.
Correct.
Which is also very confusing, which is that might be more confusing to me than anything. Like, okay, that the Browns are the Ravens. That's the lineage, right? That's right. The Browns.
So
who
claims
to Baltimore
the records?
So why are but you're telling me the Browns that got reinvented out of thin air as an expansion team still has the lineage of the old Browns, even though those old Browns are now in
right.
Baltimore. What?
Or Baltimore. Or Baltimore people who still try to claim the Colts.
Yeah.
But they're Ravens fans because they hate the Colts now. But they still want to have a tie to the Baltimore Colts players.
Because that's who their team was growing up with, the Colts.
Right. So you got these teams where things have moved around and changed names or not changed names, but then you get a new franchise and that's where I get my head's going to blow up.
Yeah, I think my head just started hurting.
Right, because we start talking about, like, because I can still see Steve McNair wearing Oilers gear.
Yeah. Even though he was a great Titan.
Even though he was a Titan, and for a year they were the Memphis Oilers?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was the Tennessee Oilers. They played in
the Tennessee
Memphis.
Oilers? Because when they played in the Liberty Bowl, they were still wearing
the Oilers
outfit.
They were Tennessee, but they weren't the Titans yet. They were the Oilers.
Yeah. They were playing at the Liberty Bowl, and that was season?
It might have been two.
One or two, yeah. The people barely remember those seasons that they played in the Liberty Bowl in Memphis.
My wife still remembers because she will still get mad when you talk about it.
Well, I was about to say, because there's a lot of people in Memphis who were salty that they ended up moving to Nashville.
Right. They thought, hey, we got an NFL team here in Memphis. We bet. No,
I've driven by the Liberty Bowl, and you've been to the Liberty Bowl. There's no way that is an NFL stadium.
I mean, if Soldier Field can still be standing, but yeah, it's definitely.
Well, I mean,
there's definitely a lot
bad
less
example.
Luxury boxes here. Well, I mean, they've tried to update the Soldier Field, so they would have done the same thing. They would
have
tried to update
the
Liberty
Bowl. I have good memories of the old Soldier Field. Going to concerts and going to football games there, you know.
Yeah.
I was at some memorable football games there. I was talking about just a few weeks ago, and I was at the Packers-Bears game when Favre threw the 97-yard touchdown.
Mm.
Or 99-yard touchdown, right, I mean, I should say. 99.9-yard touchdown to Robert Brooks. I was at the game, that Monsoon Bowl on Halloween night.
I'll never forget that. I wasn't there, but I was working.
Man,
oh my God,
I saw some of the weirdest. I'm still saying the wind was blowing so bad that I'm not joking. One side of me was wet. One side of me was dry. That's how hard the wind was blowing. And I'm not joking. That's exactly how it was. I saw the Bears punt, and the guy punted the ball, and it just shot out like a cannon, stopped in midair, turned around,
right,
and came all the way back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It ended up being like an 8-yard punt.
Yeah.
That wasn't a shake.
I remember. Right. No, that's just how horrible the wind was that night.
And it was a Packers blowout. Like, the Bears couldn't do anything in this wind and rain, and Favre and the Packers are just up and down.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. It was like how the opposing team can always hit home runs out of Wrigley into the wind, but the Cubs can't. It was just like that. And I remember that game because they were retiring a couple of Bears legends at halftime of that game.
Was one of them Butka?
It might have been. It was two guys. I don't remember exactly who they were. They were legends. They were 85 legends. They were doing a big ceremony for them, retiring some stuff at halftime. And the game was a blowout. And as soon as the halftime ceremony ended, everybody left.
Mass exodus.
Everybody left. I stayed because I was like, this is cool. I was rooting for Favre and the Packers, you know? Yeah, that place was empty as soon as that halftime ceremony was over.
I believe it. No, that was a terrible wild game.
That was a horrible. That was a horrible storm.
I was as wet as you were, and I wasn't anywhere near the game. I was just in the streets trying to get home from my my job at the time at Woolworth.
Oh, okay. You had the Woolworth
days.
Story.
with the bubble with the chewed up bubble gum in the basement that the rats got into. Yeah, I got Woolworth stories. I won't share them tonight, but I definitely got Woolworth stories.
No longer around, anyways.
Yes, R.I.P. Dick Butka and R.I.P. Woolworth.
So, yeah, I don't know. What were we talking about?
I don't know. Kings of Non Sequitur, in case you're wondering why we got that name. Why we gave ourselves
that
name.
I saw that the whole Arlington thing is starting to fall apart now for the Bears, too.
No, it is.
It's what I'm seeing. They bought that land. They bought the racetrack.
Well, then what's falling apart if they got the land?
I don't know if something's blocking them or if it's a logistical nightmare. I know it would be a logistical nightmare for how much work would have to be done to the highways and everything out there to put an NFL stadium on the grounds out there. That area out there in Palatine, off of 53 up there, that's not conducive for an NFL franchise without a lot of work.
And they'll put in the work. Believe me, if enough money is on the line, those NFL funds are on the line, they'll make it work. They'll get it together.
And all that tax base, it'd be nuts. I remember when we drove down to Atlanta for the NFC Championship game in 2016, we drove down there, my wife and I, just on a whim, right? We talked about that on the show a bunch of the time. We just decided, what the hell, it's Falcons, Packers, let's just get tickets. And two tickets cost us $700. And we just was like, let's do it. And we hopped in the car and we drove down there. But we got to see firsthand how much work they had to do with the highway system and everything to build that new Braves stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And I could not believe how much was being ripped up on the interstates and in the area and all this to accommodate, you know, the stadium being out there. And I'm thinking, I just can't see Illinois doing something like that. There's too much corruption. They'd screw it up.
It's a lot of corruption. It can be done. It just takes a lot of cooperation and a lot of palm greasing, like you said, a lot of corruption. So it takes a long time to get anything done in Illinois because it's basically two different states. It's North Illinois and South Illinois.
Right. There's north of Interstate 80, and then there's south of Interstate 80.
Right. Anything south of I-80 is Southern Illinois.
It's downstate. It's not Southern Illinois. It's downstate.
Well, right. There's upstate and downstate. But it can be done. Just you gotta know who you gotta grease. You got to know who's got the juice, who's got the power, and you just got to do it. You can't sit around and wait. That's the only issue I can think of that why that could be breaking down is because they didn't take care of who they needed to take care of in time. Like, you know, Pritzker's the governor. You know, you got to take care of him, and then you got to go from there and work your way up. And the problem might be the Bears are so cheap they don't want to do things to the right, quote unquote, the right way. And grease the right palm. So they might think we're the Bears, we should be able to get whatever we want and however many, whatever percentage of the stadium being built that they're going to force onto the people, onto the taxpayers. It's going to be a huge percentage, and it might just be the Bears want it to be even bigger than it already is going to be. So I don't know. I haven't read about it. I don't know the exact details, but all I know is if they want it done bad enough, they'll get it done.
Well, that's with most things.
Right. You know what you got to do. Just do it. That's how I feel about it.
I mean, I'd be sad. I actually do. I don't think Soldier Field's all that great. I haven't been there many times. But, it'd be sad to have them not be by the lake, right?
Well, it'd be really sad for me because I never took advantage of their proximity. I never got over to Soldier Field.
Ever?
Never been in there.
Oh. Okay.
I haven't
been in there since they turned it into a like an ashtray or whatever the hell it is, not a spaceship.
With that spaceship on top of it?
Yeah. No, I was there when it was the real Soldier Field.
Right. Well, you know, I didn't have a car back then in Chicago, of course. So I would have had to get in on public transport. I would have had to get a ticket, and then I would have had to get on the bus or the train and get out there. It just didn't seem like something that was real easy to get to on the bus, so I just never decided to make the effort. It might have been a lot easier than I think it is, but I just never made the effort.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to down here, I already know, you got to drive everywhere anyway, so I just didn't know how terrible the parking situation is going to be. But the last time I went to the Tigers game, the shuttle, it worked out perfectly because now I know where to pick it up exactly. So I know to park, where that building is. There's some academic building near the University of Memphis. You park there for free. Where to pick up the shuttle now. You walk right out to your car. I literally parked 10 feet from where you got to go pick up the bus, and the bus came around and there it was and dropped us off and everything worked out fine. And so once you know where you got to go, then it worked a lot better than it did the first time, because I didn't know exactly where I was supposed to be picking it up. I wound up parking like literally four blocks away from where I was supposed to pick it up, so that was not very fun. And it was interesting this time getting on. It was about an hour 15 minutes before the game started is when I got on the shuttle. This time, there were a lot of Boise. We were playing against Boise State. There were a lot of Boise State people on this shuttle bus. They knew about this stuff better than I did. I can't imagine these were people who live in Memphis who decided to put on a bunch of Boise State colors and root against the Tigers, although I guess that's possible. But no, I think these were people from Boise who knew about the shuttle and knew where to pick it up. And I'm like, y'all knew about this better than I did, because the first time I came out here, I didn't know what to do or where to pick it up. So this information gets around to those people better than it does to the actual people of Memphis, because the only information about the shuttle is on the Tigers website. And it says, first thing it says is you can pay by cash or card. And then you get there and the woman looks at you like you have three eyes and says, we don't take credit cards. There's nothing. They don't have anything to take a credit card on. They're like, what are you talking about? So there's, confusion is with a lot of things, but once you get the hang of it, once you do it and you know where to pick it up, it is actually a very good service, because they drive you right around to the back of the stadium. They take the side street. They go past all the old houses and people in poverty that live right next to the stadium. And it's a little sad to look at them, but some of them are trying to make money and get people to park on their property and take their money for that too. So they're trying to get over. So I understand that. But the bus drops you right at the back of the stadium and you walk right in and everything works out perfectly fine, but you just got to know where to go. But all I can tell you is I'll just repeat what I said, but you can't park anywhere near the actual stadium. They will not let you park near the stadium unless you have a season
ticket. That's just so wild.
It's crazy. All that parking, so much blank parking, so much parking with no cars sitting on it, but nope, you can't have it because you don't have a season ticket pass. Whatever. All right, I'm done.
All right. You ready to call it?
Yes. I'm going to get all that off my chest. All right. 13 more games for week five tomorrow and Monday. We disagree on five of them, so we'll see how that works out. I think I don't feel great about my pick, but I don't feel bad either. You know what I mean? I'm kind of in between on them. So.
Yeah. I mean, five's a nice number to disagree on. Nothing's decided this week.
Right. So we'll see. The only thing is, can we make the right decisions tomorrow with our individual wagers and try to make some money off this stuff?
I'm trying. I got another lineup or two to throw out there and see how it goes.
All right. So Saturday night next week?
Yes.
All right. And after that is when the comedy starts. When all the craziness starts for how we're going to do those next couple of shows after that. But the week six show is scheduled for next Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Hopefully you all will join us again for that, for another big football party. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been In Much Less Detail, the podcast. Thank you all for listening. Good luck in your bets and your picks tomorrow for week five. And we'll talk to you next Saturday night.